Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday. It is January 4th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a Philadelphia Highway Patrol officer remains in critical but stable condition this morning following brain surgery after he was seriously injured when his motorcycle was hit by another vehicle in Northeast Philadelphia. Police Commissioner Richard Ross said the injured officer is 48-year-old Andy Chan. In a news conference Thursday night, Ross said that Chan suffered a significant head injury in the incident. The accident occurred along a section of Ron Street that runs between the Boulevard and Frankfurt Ave just after 5:30 on Thursday. Police said the 79-year-old driver of a Ford minivan was coming out of Pennypack Park onto Ron Street when he crashed into the officer's motorcycle. Investigators said the impact threw Chan about 25 feet. The driver remained at the scene of the accident. Chan, a 24-year veteran of the force, was very active in police recruiting and was recently featured in a police recruiting video where he recalled as a boy the police officers who came into his parents' restaurant at 10th and Ray Streets. He later would become a member of the department's elite highway patrol unit. The highly decorated officer would also become a valuable advocate in the department's minority recruiting efforts. Chan was taken with a large police escort to Jefferson Torsdale Hospital following the accident. So he's still in the hospital this morning. They're saying he's unconscious. He did have the brain surgery, and I guess we'll find out more. But they are calling, they're saying it's critical but stable. So hopefully that means he'll be okay.
Yeah, God willing.
Investigators found the burned body of a woman in West Philadelphia. Officers on patrol made the disturbing discovery about 1:30 this morning on the 4400 block of Ludlow Street. Police say a gasoline can and a lighter were nearby the body on the sidewalk. Investigators are now working to identify the victim, who was pronounced dead at the scene. Police say the medical examiner will have to determine if foul play was involved. The driver of a car that slammed head-on into an SUV in South Philadelphia early Wednesday morning, killing three people, is now facing more serious charges. 29-year-old Keith Campbell of Bear, Delaware, has been charged with three counts of homicide by vehicle, aggravated assault, reckless endangerment, and possession of an instrument of crime. The district attorney's office said the investigation is ongoing and more charges are possible. Campbell was previously charged with four counts of an accident involving death or bodily injury. Campbell remains hospitalized in critical condition, suffering from multiple stab wounds that authorities say may have been self-inflicted. A knife was found in the vehicle, police say.
So do we believe that it was his intent to die in that collision? Well, was that an intentional collision, or as Preston suggested yesterday, was he bleeding out and
they haven't said that. They haven't said that. So they did find a knife. They think that the stab wounds are self-inflicted. A written note described by authorities as rambling was found inside Campbell's car, but police have not determined if it was a suicide note. Police are also looking into whether he was under the influence prior to the crash. The fatal collision happened at 1:45 a.m. Wednesday at 7th and Packer Ave. 36-year-old Joseph Ferry, his fiance, 35-year-old Kelly Wisely, were killed. The couple had just gotten engaged over Christmas. 31-year-old Dennis Palandra was killed. His 30-year-old wife, Nicole, remains hospitalized in critical condition with a broken pelvis.
It's a weird thing, but in that Artie Lang book, Crash and Burn, he talks about, remember when he stabbed himself? And I didn't realize this was a thing, but this is what he was doing. But you take yourself to the point of bleeding out
so that you sort of become high.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that?
The two male victims were members of the South Philadelphia String Band. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Flyers return home with a 5-3 loss against the Carolina Hurricanes last night in South Philly. Dougie Hamilton and former Flyer Justin Williams scored second-period goals to lead the Hurricanes to a 4-0 lead and the eventual win. The Flyers lost their fifth straight game and fell to 3-5-1 under interim coach Scott Gordon since his promotion from the AHL. The homestand continues tomorrow afternoon with a game against the Calgary Flames. The puck drops at 1 o'clock. The Sixers, who have won two in a row and five of their last seven games, are back home tomorrow night for the first time since December 22nd.
Yeah!
A few hours after the Flyers game ends, the Sixers will host the Dallas Mavericks Mavericks, and tip-off is at 7:30. The Phillies and pitcher David Robertson have agreed to terms on a two-year contract, and the deal includes a third-year club option. 33-year-old Robertson is expected to be a part of the back end of the Phil's bullpen alongside Sir Anthony Dominguez. Robertson will make $10 million in 2019 and $11 million in 2020. An 11-year veteran who has spent most of his career with the Yankees, Robertson went 8-3 with 5 saves and a 3.23 ERA in 69 relief appearances last season. The Eagles will play the Bears in Chicago on Sunday afternoon in the wildcard round of the playoffs, and kickoff is set for 4:40. Eagles quarterback Nick Foles said that he still has a little soreness in his ribs, but is improving every day. He might wear some extra protection against the Bears. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Just looking over some things. You know, there may be a good amount of people headed up to Jack Frost today because it is day off on the slopes.
True, yes.
Pierre broadcasting live, Jackson broadcasting live. So maybe you're getting your supplies all set to go, taking a little road trip. The ski lifts open at 9 a.m., so you might be heading up early, and we will supply the soundtrack for you on the way.
Yeah, absolutely love it. And we were talking about this yesterday. It seems a lot of people, and I guess it stands to reason, took this full week off, you know, as part of the vacation. So, yeah, I think they might have some good brisk business up there.
That'd be a perfect way to end your little vacation up that way. So, We'll get set for that excitement, and of course, following that up with the Cardboard Classic. Yeah. We'll have details on that coming up in the very near future.
Can you believe it?
I know. I've gotten several emails from people asking, you know, we need to book. When is it? And it's usually the first Friday of March. Do we have that official?
Yeah.
It is official?
Yeah, I'm just telling them the dates.
Yeah.
We announced it.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a save the date when we announced this one, you know, the day off on the slopes with Pierre and Jackson, and then the first Friday of March is the Cardboard Classic.
Yeah, Nick, this one seems to it seems to be more recent because we all recount our how we survived the last Cardboard Classic stories all the time.
Yeah.
And my wonderful journey back.
Remember, one of our interns was taken in by a psycho. Woman.
Yes. Like misery. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're a dirty bird.
Dirty bird. Oh my God.
Except, misery was a little safer.
Oh man. So, anyhow, that's going on today. That's exciting. We have a couple of guests joining us today. We have comedian Samuel J. Comro. Who's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club. We haven't met him before, so we'll spend some time, get to know him today.
Yes.
And see what's in store at the Comedy Club this weekend. And, of course, the Birds have a big game this weekend. So we're going to talk to John Clark from NBC Sports and just get his take on it and things we need to know going into the game and so on.
Yeah, there's, you know, and I have to run it by you, Casey, about what we need to do as far as superstition-wise and all that stuff. Maybe when John's on, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'll let you guys. I'll fill you in.
Yeah.
A little checklist of what needs to be done.
I mean, I think it's sort of safe to assume just put any blue clothing in, like, a closet for the weekend, you know, just wear nothing but green.
All right. What about, like, royal blue as opposed to...
You know what, man? You know? Just to hedge my bets.
Don't tempt fate.
No shades of blue.
It's like the shirt you're wearing right now.
No way.
Very, very...
Very, very blue.
Chicago blue.
Exactly.
Okay, you don't want to do that.
No.
Understood. So we'll cover all those bases bit later on. These things and more taking place on today's program, giving away our Word of the Week prize. We will do that as well. So why don't you hang in there with us? We're going to have a good time. I promise you that. We'll take a break, come back in a second, start the giveaways with a stupid question, and I got loads of entertainment stories I want to run by you. Bring you up to speed. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, what's up? It's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Jack Frost and Big Boulder ski areas are officially open for the season. And WMMR's Day Up on the Slopes with Pierre Jackson is January 4th. Tickets are available now at WMMR.com while supplies last. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to hannahstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Oh, God, I love you.
All right, so we're going to do a stupid question today, and we're going to give away a four-pack of tickets for
the Philly Home Show. And the question that I have for you is this. The Enterprise was the first space shuttle built, but which shuttle was the first to fly in space?
Uh-huh.
215-263-WMMR. That is the number. So call now. The Enterprise was the first space shuttle built, but which shuttle was the first to fly in space? Call right now. Let's see if you know the answer. And we will go through some birthdays while we are awaiting that answer. Today is Friday, January 4th, and we have Michael Stipe, lead singer of R.E.M.
We were just talking about him for some reason, weren't we?
Turns 59 today.
Was it because we had a couple of R.E.M. birthdays in a row?
I think it's like three in a row.
Yeah.
Starting at the beginning of last month.
Yeah, it might have been Mike Mills' birthday.
Yes.
That we were talking about last time.
The famous rapper.
No, that's Meek Mills.
Yeah,
Mike Mills.
Stipe these days, he's still looking like the old man in the sea.
I haven't seen him in a while.
The big beard?
Last time I checked, he was bald with a big white beard.
Yeah,
so that's kind of the look he's been going with. But spent some time with R.E.M. over the break listening to them. I love that band. So he is 59 today. Happy birthday. Comedic actor Dave Foley.
Yes.
Celebrating birthday. That's not him. That's Scott
not him.
Thompson. But that was from Kids in the Hall. Which I loved that show.
Do you know what I saw over
Very
the
inventive.
Over the week that we were off of Blast from the Past?
It's a great movie.
And he's in it.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. Brendan Fraser and Alicia Silverstone.
And he is great as the gay friend to Alicia Silverstone.
Right.
He cracks me up.
He's hilarious.
He has some great lines. He was great in News Radio. That was a fun show, too.
You had Phil Hartman. You had Joe Rogan. The cast was great.
Yeah. So Dave Foley celebrates his 56th birthday today. And also, he was the voice of the lead character in A Bug's Life, which I still think it's a fun movie. Diane Cannon, the actress.
Yes.
Ally McBeal, of course, she was in Heaven Can Wait.
Former Mrs. Cary Grant.
Oh, no kidding.
For a number of years, And in fact, it was his LSD. You know, he used to do LSD.
Oh, really?
And he had sessions where it would be in his bloodstream and it would kick in and it became too much for her to handle. So
what?
That's when
she broke it off with Cary Grant because of his LSD trips.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Isn't that crazy? But yeah, he was one of the early proponents of LSD. Okay. Cary Grant.
Wow, I was not aware of that.
Yeah,
of course she was great in Heaven Can Wait.
Heaven Can Wait. That's right. Heaven Can Wait. Heaven Can Wait. Heaven Can Wait till another day.
Our interns apparently don't know who Diane Cannon is because they brought in a picture of, is this a woman named Diane Cannon? Okay, so this must be like Diane Cannon realtor of
Virginia. Because this is not the actress.
Anyway, back to you, Preston.
All right, spell it D-Y-A-N. That's how you spell Diane Cannon. You might get the right one, but, you know, it's okay because it's just for us here in the studio. Moving on, one last birthday, and I don't recognize the name, but a couple of the titles I see. Julian Sands.
Yes.
She was in Leaving Las Vegas. She was in Boxing Helena.
It's a guy.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Or Julian instead of Julianne, I guess.
Blonde hair, Preston, very arch features.
Was in 24 as well?
Yeah, I think you'd recognize him.
Wait a minute. Wait, was that guy in Oxford Blues?
He might have been.
I'm looking
when
at
when did
a
that movie come out?
Oh man,
80s,
late '80s. Yeah, and it was Rob Lowe and him. They were Cambridge and Rowe.
Oh yeah.
Hang on a second.
I think you're right. I think he might have been
because I'm looking at a photo of him.
I don't see that.
Maybe scroll back even further. Might not have been late '80s. Might have been early
'80s.
There
Nailed it.
That's correct.
Good work, man.
And I believe he was also in the last Ocean's movie too.
The girl one? No.
The one with Al Pacino.
Ocean's 13?
13, I think it might have been him. Well, I like that guy.
Now you like this guy.
I never knew his name.
Yeah.
All right, Julian Sands, 61 years old today. Happy birthday to everybody.
He played Greco Montgomery in an Ocean's 13.
Celebrating. See?
You know.
I know exactly who that guy is.
You know
is.
Stuff.
You're his biggest fan.
Even in celebrities, names, forget it.
He's like Frank Langella to you, Preston.
I just know that guy. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. The Enterprise was the first space shuttle built, but which shuttle was the first to fly in space? 215-263-WMMR. No, Scott, it was not Sputnik, but good try.
Close.
I will go to Francis to see if I can get the answer. Hi, Francis. Good morning.
Side Long Kong Kong.
Side Long Kong Kong.
Francis.
He's doing the whole thing.
Side Long Kong Kong.
Francis,
sorry,
what?
Sorry, the Long Kong Kong.
What? Yes, we. This has been special. What? What was the shuttle, please, sir?
I believe it was the Columbia.
Columbia. Yeah. Hang on a moment, sir. Since you got it right, we got you a 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Home Show, and that is January 11th through the 13th, and then the 18th through the 20th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. For more information and discount tickets, you can go to phillyhomeshow.com. I actually saw the Enterprise in person.
Oh, you saw the shuttle?
Yeah. The Enterprise, the one that didn't fly in space.
Yes, right.
It flew on the back of a 747.
Yeah.
And they had
to remember the whole process.
From coast to coast. Well, they came in, they flew it into St. Louis, and I saw it land.
Oh, wow.
At Lambert International Airport.
Yeah, they mounted it on the top of a 747.
It was pretty cool. I was more impressed by the, however, its escort planes were T-38s, and they came cruising. I was like, dude, those are fighter jets.
That is so cool. Yeah.
Over Thanksgiving break, I went down to the Udvar Hazy Air and Space Museum, which is an extension of the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, but it's out by Dulles, and they have this space shuttle Discovery there. And so Dulles Airport is literally right next door to it. So they did the same thing, Preston. They landed it at Dulles International Airport and then taxied it across the runway into this giant hangar now, and you can go visit. It's really neat.
You remember it was named Enterprise because of a massive writing campaign because of Star Trek fans.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So Gene Roddenberry, the whole crew was there.
All right, well, let's get into some of the entertainment stuff. We're going to start with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. They may have had a more volatile relationship than was previously suspected. While both of them accused the other of abuse during their contentious 2016 divorce, new legal documents are expected to shed new light on their relationship. The documents, according to The Hollywood Reporter, are expected to play a central role in Depp's defamation suit against the UK tabloid The Sun.
Uh-huh.
All right, so The Hollywood Reporter published portions of a deposition which both parties gave accounts of the alleged abuse. In the an account that Amber Heard gave to Blair Burke, an attorney employed by Depp, she reportedly said that on August 13, 2016, Johnny and I referred to his other personality, the part of him that is present when he beats me up. We call that the monster.
Good, Johnny Depp.
And have called that the monster for many years, and I was petrified of the monster.
We saw what I guess is that monster-ish behavior when he's in that video, the drunk video where he's walking around, and she puts the iPhone on the counter to record his tirade. Do we still have that case?
No, probably.
The claim was extracted from a 471-page deposition transcript, which the Hollywood Reporter obtained, along with statements from Heard's friend Raquel Pennington and the Los Angeles Police Department officers who responded to an altercation at their L.A. penthouse in 2016.
Let me ask you something here. Aren't these sealed court documents? And if so, isn't it a crime for them? Whoever leaks them, wouldn't they be facing criminal charges? I never understood this stuff, which is supposed to be sealed in court documents, always leaks out.
Yeah, I don't know the origin of that, Steve, but
it's just weird that
it depends on what's considered public record.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
All right, so anyhow, let me see here. It was okay. So going back to what I was saying, the officers responded to an altercation at their penthouse. And this is the famous fight that allegedly led to Heard filing for divorce. Photographs of Heard's bruised face also emerged, though Depp has long maintained that the bruises were self-inflicted. So he says she did it, or he said she did it herself. According to Pennington, her friend, who came to the penthouse when Heard had asked her to, Depp was swinging around a Magnum bottle of wine and knocking things off the counter with it. She also said that she took dozens of photos of Heard's bruises over the years of her relationship with Depp. The LAPD, meanwhile, stated that they saw no signs of broken items when inspecting the apartment. Now, on Johnny's side, he claimed that Heard was the one who was aggressive and violent. He said she punched him twice on April 12th after he was late to her birthday dinner. He claimed that, fearing for his own safety, he brought security guards to his apartment on May 21st. And that he never touched her after hearing a hearing in the UK has been set for February 22nd. Meanwhile, according to a report in Forbes, Disney is seriously mulling firing Johnny from its Pirates of the Caribbean franchise.
Well, yeah.
Because of salary and insurance requirements, the House of Mouse could save about $90 million.
Ooh. And honestly,
which is a huge part of the $230 million budget.
Yeah, the last movie didn't do really well at all, you know, so why if you're going to take another swing at it, try to reboot it with someone else.
Yeah, probably.
I think it's a losing proposition with him.
A good idea, I would think.
And you know, there was that story you had about him going into the tirade about trying to egg a worker on a movie set to punch him in the face. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So no, wait, what was that?
Yeah, it was he was basically, you know, I'll give you $10,000 if you punch me in the. What was the story or something like that?
I've forgotten it, but
some
I remember
bizarre
that.
Offer. Yeah,
I don't
okay.
know.
Why.
He flew off the deep end.
Yep. So that continues, but let's move on to a couple.
They're the nicer stuff.
Let's move on to a couple who are so lovey-dovey, it's sickening. But I love them. Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard.
Yeah.
They were on the Ellen DeGeneres Show Thursday to toast his birthday. The lovebirds got real. Shepard explained that having a birthday so close to the holidays to him is the worst thing ever. He said it's traditionally when you go back to school as a kid, it's like, happy birthday, go to school. And then when you get there, there was a big break. So when they would read the happy birthdays over the loudspeaker, you're among like 30 people who had birthdays. Nothing special. But he continued that even now it's grim despite his celeb status. He said, I can't get more than 6 people to attend my birthday party, and I'm on television. And they know Kristen will be there.
Yeah.
But he got a little bit emotional, though, when Kristen had asked him what he most wanted for his birthday. He said, I would say, please, please, please give that person love and support for 11 years. Give them 2 beautiful baby girls and you're good. And like she was starting to cry.
Oh, my God.
He was starting to cry. They love each other so much.
No.
No, it is nice to see a couple that actually
seems to be
really enjoys.
And they use Samsung appliances.
Their companies. Isn't that
yeah,
a bonus?
Yeah, they do.
Wow. So Steve sent me this story yesterday. Billy Connolly, the Scottish actor and comedian and musician, has revealed that his life is, quote, according to him, slipping away. And he may have already filmed his last major TV appearance. He will appear in the second part of his BBC documentary series called Made in Scotland on Friday night and reflects that he is now near the end of his life.
It's really depressing.
The funny man, 76 years old, was dealt with a devastating blow when he was diagnosed with both prostate cancer and Parkinson's on the same day in 2013.
Jeez.
Yeah, in a clip film from last year, he said, there's no denying it. I'm 75. I've got Parkinson's, and I'm at the wrong end of the telescope of life. I am at the point where the yesteryears mean more than the yesterdays.
Didn't he, for a brief period, he was the teacher on the
head of the class.
Yeah,
Howard Hessman was... I don't know if he left or fired or whatever, he came in. But I will say this, and I've always loved stand-up comedy, but he did a stand-up act that I believe was on HBO that it's the first time I can remember laughing so hard and crying and thinking, okay, I would love to do stand-up comedy.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was really lowbrow stuff. Yeah. It was a joke about a fart, but it made me laugh so hard that I cried.
Huh. Mm. Yeah, he's talented, no question. But he said, my life, it's slipping away, and I can feel it, and I should. He said, I'm 75, I'm near the end, I'm a damn sight nearer to the end than I am the beginning, but it doesn't frighten me, it's an adventure, and it is quite interesting to see myself slipping away.
That's an interesting take.
He said, as bits slip off and leave me, talents leave and attributes leave, I don't have the balance I used to have. I don't have the energy I used to have. I can't hear the way I used to hear. I can't see as good as I used to. I can't remember the way I used to remember. And they all came one at a time and they just slipped away. Thank you.
Leaves us a lot to look forward to, doesn't
yeah, right?
it?
Jeez.
I know, but listen.
It's... He's dealing with, to get prostate cancer and Parkinson's diagnosis.
Yeah.
In the same day.
He said, it takes a certain calm to deal with, and sometimes I don't have it. I sometimes get angry with it, but that doesn't last long. I just collapse in laughter.
I wonder if there is a way to, I don't want to say enjoy it, but just to, as it's going on, like, because he's very, very well aware of what is happening to
right.
him.
Right, he's checking out. If he can have fun with that fact, I always
know.
Said, at that point in time, that's when you say, is there something in the, are there... kids trapped in a well?
Yeah.
Is there, you know, what do you need? You know, my life isn't worth nothing right now. Now, right. I don't know if that diminishes the heroics of the act if you know you're going to die anyway, but still, why not? Go for it.
Yeah.
Climb Everest. What do you have to lose?
He's physically having some issues,
yeah.
too, so he...
Make it tough.
I don't think he could
the
do
Everest
that.
Climb is probably off the books.
Probably off the books as of now. But anyhow.
But if there's trapped climbers up there, hey, you know...
There you go.
You want to go up and save somebody.
All right. So on to another sad story. Brian Dunkelman.
Oh, my God.
Former co-host of American Idol. The first season.
Season one.
Yep.
Is now making a living as an Uber driver.
Man.
Dunkelman is in the middle of a divorce with Kayla Dunkelman. He submitted financial documents obtained by TMZ disclosing his occupation as Uber driver. Says he started the job in March of 2016 and continued to this day. He says he works about 45 hours a week and pulls in around $800 a week. Dunkelman says that he has $2,000 in his checking account. He pays $1,500 in rent per month, and his expenses total $1,605 each month.
Now, I wonder if his financial situation is that dire because he's going through a divorce, and obviously he'd want to make it look as bad as possible so he doesn't have to split up the assets. But he hasn't done anything.
I mean, you look at Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, and he, by the way, he had he was the one who opted off the show. Now he says his memory is foggy and he doesn't know if he believes that they were trying to manipulate him out. But he opted out of the show because he wanted to pursue an acting career.
Oh, really?
That was the deal.
All right. Well, he says his 5-year-old
son. Smart move.
His 5-year-old son, Jackson, lives with him half the week. The divorce has been dragging on for more than 2 years, and the couple has been locked in a bitter custody battle. He claimed Kayla was an out-of-control alcoholic who was a danger to their son. Brian also claimed she physically abused him. She claimed Brian was physically abusive toward her and called her a useless bitch.
So it looks like it's wrapping up, and there's, you know, it's, what was it, Gwyneth Paltrow's conscious uncoupling.
Yeah,
that's
maybe,
what it was.
Maybe that's what they're going
for. They're
going
to still remain the best of friends.
Wow. Adam Levine just took a massive piece of property off the hands of recently divorced Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner and plunked down $32 million for their former family home.
God.
I know.
$32 million from the Moves Like Jagger guy.
For a house.
For a house.
Yeah.
Well, he's also, you know, in The Voice.
I know The Voice. Listen, yeah. I've since reassessed him. He is legitimately a talented guy. The fact that I hate that song more than anything on earth.
Yeah.
When they tour, though, man, they sell out, and The Voice is certainly the vehicle for it. But, I mean, there are thousands and thousands of screaming fans in the audience, and they're there to see him. I mean, you can't name anybody else in Maroon 5, or I can.
Most people
probably can't. And he does a commercial right now with Jonah Hill, where they're talking, they're wearing these virtual goggles, watching a Lakers game courtside. So he has some promotional items in the fires as well.
I met somebody who does his like the video for Maroon 5 while they're on tour.
I know Maroon 5's videographer.
Well, no. So I mean, it's more than just that. I mean, but either way, this guy, he's the head of the whole video.
Right,
it's his company. And so he does video for Fish and then for Maroon 5. And he said those two bands are the best. Everybody else sucks.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy.
Adam's a really, really nice guy.
Then good for him.
Real estate sources say that Adam and his wife, Beate Prinsloo, made the purchase at the end of 2018 for the 3-building compound. In total, the Pacific Palisades pad is worth is a whopping 16,000 square feet.
16,000 square feet. Let me ask you, have you ever had the desire to own a compound? When you move from a house to a compound?
Of course.
Do I want a compound?
Do I have the means? Hell no.
You want
the desire?
A security office at the front?
Dogs
that roam the perimeter.
I want a basketball court, and I don't even play basketball.
Right. And you want the basketball court. Now, you want it separate, or you want it to slide away and reveal a pool underneath?
Preston, you could own a compound. You just wouldn't be able to live in Harleysville or anywhere in, like, the close Philadelphia metropolitan area. You would have to live out far.
You'd be like a Unabomber.
I don't know, dude. There's a compound not far from where I live right now that's going up. It's massive. But, what I'd like to do is instead of have the basketball court slide out and there's a pool underneath, I would like to have grass that actually is your yard, and then that pulls apart, and then your basketball court is underneath that.
Let's do it.
No, it's smart.
We'll just build it ourselves. How hard could it be?
Yeah. Economical with your space, Preston.
There's a pool, there's a basketball court, gym, screening room, and an art studio.
Washer dryer.
The 3.1 acre property never officially hit the market. The sale was done privately with Kurt Rappaport representing Adam and his wife, and David Offer representing Ben and Jen.
Yeah, I imagine on a $32 million estate, you don't stick a sign on the front lawn for sale by owner.
Well, you put balloons out when you have an open house.
Right, yeah.
And that's, you know, just yeah, let
so Lou Ferrigno shows up.
I mean, you probably do save some money doing a private sale, right? So you don't have to pay the realtor.
No, that's exactly more, what they're doing, yeah. I think it's more because it's not an everyday person that's going to come by yes. and buy it. So it's like a community of people. They don't necessarily have to list it.
Well, Kathy, you're wrong.
Find somebody to purchase it.
I was just on Zillow yesterday in the $32 million section, and there's a whole bunch of stuff available.
When Ben and Jen first split in 2015, Ben lived in a guest house on the property. And they could easily, like, not see each other at all. That's how big it is, 16,000. I mean, it's an apartment complex.
Their guest house, by the way, that guest house is like three times the size of my house.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a massive purchase for Levine and likely a big sigh of relief for Ben and Jen, who were officially divorced in November and still had the burden of selling that place. That's the thing about owning something like that. When it's time to unload it,
it's hard.
It's difficult to do.
Yeah.
I remember...
They take a bath on it very often.
I remember Michael Jordan's massive complex outside of Chicago. He eventually had to put that... And that stayed up for sale for a long time.
Did he have a basketball court?
I believe he may have had a basketball court.
Yeah, it did stay on the market for a long time.
Jen Harley has convinced Ronnie Ortiz Magro, convinced that he ransacked her home this week because there's video proof that he destroyed her security camera a month ago during another violent incident no one knew about.
Honestly, and I don't wish this to happen, but I am amazed that there has not been a murder-suicide in this relationship.
TMZ obtained this December 4th Ring security footage showing Ronnie hauling back and smashing the camera at the front door of Jen's Las Vegas home. Law enforcement sources said that the Jersey Shore star showed up around 10 p.m. that night and also threw an object through a window when she refused to let him inside, so she filed a police report.
She's beaten him. He's apparently hit her. They've both had black eyes. It's a nightmare, this relationship.
He is a suspect for destruction of property. The incident is highly relevant considering Jen says someone broke into her house and trashed it on New Year's Eve after she and Ron got into a fight at a Vegas nightclub. Sources connected to Jen say that these pics show the utter destruction that was left behind. The entire place looks like a mess. There's a huge hole in the wall, shattered glass everywhere, toppled furniture, destroyed artwork, overturned tables, broken kitchenware, and a smashed flat screen TV. So somebody came in and just...
You know what they need to do?
Did it up.
They need to have another kid.
Yeah, that'll fix it. Yeah. I wonder if any of this would have happened had the reboot not happened for Jersey Shore. I mean, it really brought these guys back into the spotlight for a little while and made them somewhat famous and relevant again. Mm-hmm. Do you think these things would have happened?
I think it would have happened perhaps just later. This might have accelerated it.
So Jen's blaming her baby daddy, and he has been named a person of interest. Now, Ronnie went to cops, too, claiming that Jen hurled an ashtray at his head during their New Year's Eve nightclub clash.
I ask you, yeah. Is that something a regular sane person does serious?
The December 4th and New Year's for serious. And New Year's Eve incidents, Ronnie and Jen smiled and posed together for a family Christmas.
I love you.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of a loving family, you bitch.
Yep. Let's see. Riverdale star.
Uh-huh. All right. Real celebrities.
Now we're talking real impactful entertainment.
Lily Reinhart. Yeah. She is dunzo with trolls.
Oh, dunzo no with trolls?
Toast dunzo?
Yeah.
That's amazeballs.
The 22-year-old took to Instagram stories with this special message.
She grammed it.
She wrote, "Hey, Twitter trolls, I'm in a tropical paradise drinking strawberry coladas and exploring an island. LOL, what you doing?"
What you doing? Ah, that's good.
What the f***? She's trolling them.
Totally, you know, it's not gramming anymore, by the way. It's Insta.
Is
what you gotta say. Yeah.
I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, but it's the law.
She's not trolling. She's clapping back.
She's clapping back.
Oh, is that what she's doing?
She's throwing shade.
Yeah, she's throwing shade at the trolls.
Clapping back at the trolls.
And
she's on Insta fairly frequently, Preston. Yeah,
but she wants to know what you're doing.
Well, what I'm doing is looking at her Insta feed.
So that's all she had to say at this point in time. She throws shade.
I'm glad. This just said.
Claps back at the trolls.
The girl who plays Betty.
She's dunzo.
Is dunzo. And she's clapping back at haters. What you doing? Now we go to Jimmy Luchewski outside the Pentagon. What you doing? I'm clapping back at you, Tom.
All right.
There's an update, Preston.
Oh, please do. Okay, here we go.
This is right up your alley, Steve. You're going to love every word of this.
Yeah. She wrote, all right, this is fresh. No, it was 20 hours ago.
Okay.
All right, it says,
fresh-ish.
I give too much of myself to those people, the last people on earth who deserve it, and I feel regret for letting them spark a reaction out of me when I know all too well that the moment will pass. I'm still me. They're still them. Judging my pictures and words without actually seeing anything or knowing any part of me, the sticky spider web that they create seems to trap me every time.
With poetry.
But I seem to be the one biting myself in the end.
This is my fight.
Yeah, there it is.
Take back my life.
You said it all.
Should
put that on social
media. Said it all, man. You know, but they talk about how they clap back and how they fight and how they're not going to pay attention to the trolls. And that's all they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a drug.
Well, here's a guy who's not.
What's Jughead up to?
I don't know what Jughead's doing. Here's a guy who's not putting up with it. Will Poulter, the actor.
Yeah.
We had him.
Good actor.
Yeah, he's really good. We had him at the Camp Out for Hunger a couple of years ago. He's taking a break from social media. The British star recently appeared in Netflix Black Mirror Bandersnatch, as I call Baldersnatch. Which, by the way, yes. I think he's the best part of that particular film. I did watch it, or I watched one version of it. I have to go through and watch it a couple more times and see what the other outcomes are, because you can change the outcomes with your remote. But anyhow, he wrote, in light of my recent experiences, I am choosing to take a step back of sorts from Twitter. Before I do, I'd like to say a heartfelt thank you to everybody who has watched Bandersnatch and for their responses, whatever they may be, to the material we created. I accept all criticisms, and it's been a delight to learn that so many of you enjoyed what many people worked very hard to produce. The Mega Streamer's first interactive film for adults has received mixed reviews, by the way. But I guess he's heard a lot of crap or seen a lot of stuff, and he's just like, you know what? I'm done. Yeah, so I don't blame you, you know?
I enjoyed it. And I'm just, I wish there wasn't an interactive part. Like, I wish
it was just a story.
I wish it was just a story, yeah. Because I don't know what I saw. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like,
I was a little confused by it as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and check it out again and see what comes of it.
So. I have yet to watch it, but I've heard mixed reviews about it.
Yeah. Veteran character actor and co-creator of Dragnet, Herb Ellis, has died. He was 97 years old.
97?
Dragnet was a huge show, by the
Loved
way.
Loved it.
Those who are too old to recall that. He died, or too young to recall that. He died on December 26th.
I can't remember.
At home.
I know I was alive, but I can't remember.
His daughter, Karen Siegel, told The Hollywood Reporter, he's best known for the roles in Stanley Kubrick's The Killing, which came out in 1956, and Billy Wilder's The Fortune Cookie, which came out in 1966, and the NBC-ABC crime drama Peter Gunn.
So he helped create Dragnet?
He helped Jack Webb create Dragnet, which began on the radio in 1949.
Wow.
And when it landed on NBC 2 years later, he played Officer Frank Smith opposite Webb on a handful of episodes. But he was one of the creators.
I love the staccato Jack Webb delivery. Frank Morgan, right? The... Mm-hmm. Was his partner, right? From MASH?
Yeah.
Colonel Potter?
Yeah, what was the actor's name?
Harry Morgan.
Harry Morgan.
Harry Knuckles.
You know what? I enjoyed the Dan Aykroyd, Tom Hanks spoof of it. I thought it was fun.
Because Aykroyd nailed.
That Harry Morgan was in there.
Yes, yeah.
And Harry Morgan was hilarious in that
movie. It was very funny.
So, yeah, but anyhow, this guy was a big part of creating that.
That is wild.
Yeah, yeah. He was predeceased by his wife of 73 years, Sylvia. 73 years. They were married. Wow.
I told my wife I have to go first because I'll have to predecease her because I wouldn't be able to take it.
Or you could just kill yourself right after she
murder, dies. Suicide. You could be, do that. Yeah.
I'll at the end of the mist.
Right, yes.
Yeah, you could do that.
In the car.
All right. Set It Up star Taye Diggs will host the 24th Annual Critics' Choice Awards on January 13th. Said Diggs of the honor, I am truly honored and ridiculously excited to be hosting 24th Annual Critics' Choice Awards, especially since as an actor I recognize what a vital role the critics play in the entertainment industry.
And
today.
It's a wise move they made. They had to pick an actor that they knew wasn't working.
We are all looking forward
who would have the night off
to a big night celebrating the best.
Call Tay Diggs.
TV and
yes, hello.
And film, he says.
Yeah, it's like
the phone barely rings.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello. Hello, Tay Diggs.
He's not even finished dialing.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yeah. So he's going to be hosting it. All right, Casey, it's Friday. I know. Yeah, thank you. You have the intro ready to go. Thank you. I appreciate that. Here we go. Only one movie on my list that's opening this weekend, and that is the film Escape Room.
Do you have any interest at all as an escape room enthusiast?
Movie?
It's a horror movie.
No.
Okay.
Not really.
Yeah.
In fact, I think this is one of those ones where it says in the trailer, Escape Room in one corner and the release date in the other one.
All right.
I think this is one of those ones that's just going to suck ass.
We need to write down these.
Yeah.
And see if your theory is correct or not. Casey says that when there's a movie trailer, if the title and the release date are up in the top corners, that it's going to be a crappy movie.
I would also like to see the amount of times it occurred in actual good or great movies.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So we can compare.
Yeah.
You know, but this one, just to me, Steve and Preston and Kathy and Nick.
And you, the listener?
And you, the listener. It seems to me that this is one that was just sort of, corporately created.
Well, here's the deal.
They were a whole,
escape rooms are hot. Movie.
All right.
Yep.
Let's get somebody to write a script on this. Yeah. You know,
it seems pretty loose to me. And we love in my family doing escape rooms. We try to do them as often as possible. And I'm not going to go see the movie. But anyhow, it's a horror. And it stars a bunch of people you've probably never heard of before. Deborah Ann Woll, Tyler Labine, Taylor Russell, Logan Milley.
Deborah Ann Woll, I have heard of.
Jay Ellis and Nick Dadani.
I believe she's in Daredevil and in True Blood. And she's very attractive.
Okay.
Unless Nick, could you check that out?
I believe she's in Ruby Sparks and Meet Me in Montenegro and Escape Room, The Automatic Hate.
Maybe I'm wrong.
7 Days in Utopia. You remember from that?
Nah, none of this.
Oh, my God. It's my fave.
All right. Anyhow, she was on Daredevil.
All right. There we go.
Yeah. So it is PG-13, 1 hour and 40 minutes long, and six strangers in grave danger must fight to survive.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
And that's all I got on that.
Okay. Sounds good. They really talk it up.
So enjoy. All right. Let's do clips now. In that movie, Escape Room, six strangers must find their way through a series of challenges or they will die. Here, Jay Ellis and Deborah Ann Woll give their take on the scariest of all the rooms they faced.
We had the same answer.
It's the ice room. Yeah. I mean, it was the biggest set that we actually had. But the challenges of it were, I mean, the floor was actually a little bit slippery. There was smoke constantly being pumped in the room to look like
even the makeup.
Mist and fog. Snow was always stuck in your hair, your clothes.
So Escape Room is out today, by the way.
Here, what's that about, Preston?
Let's do the next clip. Here we go. The 30th season of The Simpsons returns this
30!
Sunday night with the kids taking a journey through Grandpa's past as a post-war toy model. In this clip, Nancy Cartwright reflects on the longevity of the sitcom. Here we go.
Can I believe it's lasted this long? Yes, I can. Yes, we're amazing. And quite humble. And don't have a cow, man. I don't know.
What the f*** going on with you?
Wow. Simpsons air Sunday at 8 p.m. on Fox. There you go. Okay.
What a gig. Yeah. What an incredible gig.
Well, it's the best
30 ever. Years.
You got to love that, man. All right, and that's the entertainment report for you this morning. We are going to take a break. We'll be back in a little bit. A couple of people on the program today. Our buddy John Clark from NBC Sports Philadelphia talking about the birds this weekend. And comedian Samuel J. Comro is going to be stopping by. He'll be performing Helium Comedy Club. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
News.
The
record company. Fozzy.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
So, over the break, Sarah from Jackson's show, Sarah Parker,
yes,
had her top 25 songs of the year, and that song was an uncontested number one.
Whoa.
And Bill Weston had reached out to Shinedown's management just to let them know about
it. Oh, yeah.
And got an email back from Brent Smith, the lead singer.
It was so nice.
It was really, really cool. He said, hey, Bill, I cannot begin to tell you how important WMMR is to not only me, but to everyone in Shinedown, from everyone in the band to McGathy Promotions and the Mighty Atlantic Records. We say thank you so very much for being there for all of us from day one. We have such an affection for the city of Philadelphia and the people that make it such an inspiring city. We never take our relationship with you, sir, for granted. I am unbelievably humbled by your belief, love, and support of our band.
That's extraordinary.
He said, here's to many more years to come, my friend. Cheers, and thank you so very much. Brent, Shinedown. Isn't that
low-hanging
cool?
Fruit.
That's
awesome.
Wait,
that's
and that great. Was in response to what?
The fact that their song was number one
on the list.
In our top 25 of the year, Sarah had put together. And, you know, she compiled all kinds of information and... And that ended up being the uncontested number one song of the year. So they
love
were
it.
Very appreciative of MMR's support, but also the fact that Philadelphia has embraced them so lovingly. So that's cool, and we're excited that they're
going to
be headlining our show. Which
I mean, would it kill Hendrix to pick up a pen and write us a letter?
He's dead.
Oh.
Yeah. So not only Shinedown, Joan Jett, and the Struts, and Evanescence, and Fozzie, Bad Wolves, whole bunch of bands, Glorious Sons, are going to be playing, and tickets are on sale now. So you can go to Ticketmaster.com, or if you need the details on the whole thing, WMMR.com, but you can get that information.
See the photos on social media, Preston, of people opening up their presents on Christmas morning and getting barbecue tickets.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
no,
it's very
cool. I
missed
that.
Yes.
I love that. So keep gifting those, if you will. So we're in a new year. Obviously, and there are a lot of things that happen when the new year rolls around. You see different, you know, things to achieve for the year, better, you know, more self-help, blah, blah, blah.
It's diets, a new year. Turn over a new leaf.
So the Lake Superior State University has released their 44th annual list of words banished from the Queen's English for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness.
Okay.
These
are
words
I tend to like this list.
That should be put to rest. This year because they've just been beaten to death or they're just stupid.
Do you on the flip side of the coin, doesn't it start to agitate you when people try to get other words going?
Yeah.
Like thirsty is one I'm hearing now.
Thirsty?
Yeah.
Can you use it in
not in the I'm parched. Yeah. I'm an attention seeker.
Okay.
She's thirsty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In that way?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I haven't heard that.
I don't like it.
Much. Okay, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
So the words chosen from a pool of submissions from a public fed up with words such as, and I'll give you a few of them, are banished, thought leader, POTUS, and yeet.
Yeet?
Does anybody know yeet?
Is that a Kanye thing?
I do not know.
How do you spell it?
Y-E-E-T.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Eat yet?
Eat yet?
Eat.
Other words or phrases that people want to see banned. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, it's a means of excitement. Wow, there's some colorful ways of explaining it, including sexual.
Okay.
So you could say it when something particular happens to a man during a sex act.
Okay.
At the moment of...
I just yeeted all over your pillow.
Well, no, does it mean that as a verb? Or as an adjective?
or as a noun?
Or an adverb?
Is that yeet in my hair?
I've never heard that.
So are we talking that this can be used as biological matter?
Well, yeah. So I guess originally it was, at one point it was especially used in basketball when somebody has a three-pointer, goes through the hoop.
Yeet.
Or in colorful yet less wholesome context as one crosses the finish line.
Oh, okay. It reaches climax. Okay.
All right, Marissa?
Yeah, I had no idea what this was, but it's one of those things that starts as a vine, and if you completely miss the vine, or even
right.
if you see the vine but miss the original joke, you're just completely out of
Which is also funny, because Vine in and of itself is gone, so now the only real way to watch Vines is by going to YouTube
and watch collections of Vines.
Yeah. Yep.
So Vine is gone, but people refer to short videos as Vine still. So Vine was a three-second video, and that platform is completely gone, but if you do a short little video, everyone just calls them Vine.
That's so funny.
It's like Kleenex.
It's like a Xerox.
A Xerox.
Used to be. Jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we got stuck in a loop of watching Vines while we're on the break. My kids are, you know, they're watching the YouTube collection of Vines, and they're like an hour long.
Yeah.
Of six-second videos.
Yes.
It's hundreds of videos.
That's what I was doing on New Year's Eve.
And you're kind of, and the moment you try to get up and leave the TV, you're like, oh, there's another one.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, there's another one.
Tell me how it ends.
Tell me how it ends. Yeah, exactly. So, but anyhow.
Yeet.
Yeet.
It's the art of shooting your load.
Okay. Well, I guess it
something
could
like
be.
That, yeah.
Other words or phrases that people want to... And wait a minute. That needs to be banned because it's been overused?
No.
Maybe it's just because it's stupid.
Maybe that's it.
Other words or phrases that people want to see banned include wrap my head around. That one doesn't bother me that much.
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Going back a few steps, did they say that POTUS, the phrase POTUS, needs to go away?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Platform... You know,
platform?
Yeah, as in I'm using this as my platform.
All right,
doesn't bother me.
No, you know what?
What are you supposed to say then?
I don't know.
As my yeet,
I'm using this as my soapbox.
I'm knee deep in yeet.
I don't know.
To me, it's the things that need to go away are the things that were funny funny at first, and then when everybody kind of uses
jokes that
it,
have worn out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are other, they're just phrases.
I'm not even talking about jokes. I'm talking about phrases. So, you know, like.
Like fleek is one to me that I find annoying.
On fleek?
On fleek.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm trying to think because I, what about you know. Lit? What's that?
Lit.
It's not even that. It's more like, you know, because I was just thinking of this last week. I was like. All right, at some point, when everybody starts saying it, it's not that great anymore.
Can I give you an example?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that special?
Kind of, no.
That's a catchphrase.
That's a catchphrase. But I'm thinking more of like, he is, you know, blank as F, you know?
Yeah.
And, no. This is what it was. I give zero Fs for that. Let's just say, I'll say flocks, right?
All right.
All right, but, you know, I have zero flocks for that. Do you know what I mean? And then I'm like, the first person said, I have zero flocks. That's funny. And then it was funny. And now that everybody, and now it's on T-shirts, it's like, it's not that funny anymore.
What about, so there's a legitimate life to a catchphrase or something like that. But I can tell you one that probably crosses into that realm for you. And for me, it does. Just saying. Just saying.
Oh, there's one on the text board. That's what. What is it?
That's what she said.
That's what she said. I hate that one.
Yeah, it's.
I can't stand it. It's not funny.
I hear too. It stopped being funny.
Stopped being funny so long ago.
But you know where there's a good example on attacking it, and in Step Brothers, when he always says, "I remember when I had my first beer," and he keeps saying that over and over again. And do you even know what that means? And that was a returning. I remember when I had my first beer. It's a line comedians used to use for hecklers all the time.
Oh, sure. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
and people would use "That's what she said" in reference to Michael Scott on The Office overusing it, and so it became cool to make fun of him trying to be cool. Do you know what I mean?
And then it became annoying.
And then it became annoying because people were trying to be cool like they were Michael Scott.
Some other words that people want to see banned.
It's a Maroon 5 song, "Cool Like Michael Scott,"
include collusion.
Collusion.
Which I'm tired of.
Yep.
Ghosting.
Ghosting is leaving.
That doesn't bother me.
Is it similar to fading away, right?
Yeah.
Litigate.
Litigate is a legitimate word. What would you use in its stead?
It's a legal term. I don't know. How about this one? Eschew. God bless you.
Yeah.
What?
Eschew.
What is it?
Eschew.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I don't hear people overusing eschew.
No. It's hard to say.
I've never heard of it.
I hear people mispronounce it all the time as askew.
Askew?
Yep.
This says it's eschew by the pronunciation.
Yep.
Look at that, eschew.
Yep.
I always call it askew. All right, so
I always say achew.
Achew. Crusty.
Yes, the clown.
I guess is...
Hey!
That's crusty.
Hey!
old and tired.
As in dried yeet.
Legally drunk? No.
I don't know.
Importantly?
What? It's a word!
Yeah. Accounterments.
Huh?
Accoutrements?
It says accounterments.
I've never heard of accounterments.
Yeah.
I hate this list.
And then the last is most important election of our time.
All right. Well, everyone is. Yeah, I can agree with that.
So this is according to Lake Superior State University. They've done this for 44 years.
I thought this was a better list. Like last year, you know.
What do you guys think about lit, as in cool? You know, I was in...
lit will always be drunk to me.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
You know, so I'm not going to transfer it, unfortunately.
I was in a restaurant a day or two ago, and a kid was on the phone, and he just was using it in casual conversation, and he was like, yeah, party's going to be lit, man. I can't wait to see everybody. And it was just his way of saying the party's going to be really cool. And to me, as you know, an old man, I'm like, it's so stupid.
Doesn't bother me.
Okay.
Yeah, but I can't... I'm not going to... start saying it.
Okay.
You know,
it won't work its way into your vocabulary. Yeah.
Well, Marissa, hold on.
The one that's really gotten on my nerves this year is clickbait. Because there's a difference between a really good headline that makes you click it because you want to read and you find out what the answer to that headline is, and like a article that has a photo and you click the website and that photo doesn't exist in it.
Like, right. That's clickbait. That's exactly clickbait. It. Yeah.
And I get annoyed when like people use the other one. They're like, oh, that was way to use clickbait to try to get us to click that. It's like, yeah, because we wrote a really good headline.
Right. Yeah. When you're using. Yeah. When it goes to a germane article or something, that's not a clickbait.
No. Clickbait is bait and switch.
Yes.
They bring you in and it's either not there at all. Or you have to wait for 100 clicks before you get to what you had searched for in the first
place.
Like
the picture of that supposedly huge-breasted politician in Italy or someplace.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know what we're talking about. Yeah.
Are you guys...
I've clicked on that 1,000 times.
Where is this politician?
Are you guys over John?
Yes.
I've been over John
for a long time.
For a long time. I never find a legitimate use for it. You know what
I'm
I mean?
On to you. I have known of John since 1994. You know what I mean? So it's not like
you were the first John
my
knower.
My sweetest wife. I encountered a new word today. It is John. I shall bring it back with me from the war, and we shall raise it as our own, employing it to describe all sorts of things. That's my jam.
When it works its way into advertising. That's when I start to lose it. When you hear it in a commercial, that's my John, man.
Especially for Tampax.
I know. Yeah.
Somebody texts in, do you guys look at this stuff before you use it as a bit?
No.
Actually, no. I like to see how it rolls out. I don't like to, let's see where it goes.
Otherwise, we're just a reading club.
Yeah, we're just plan.
Yeah.
No, we're off the cuff here on the President Steve Show.
We're off the hook.
Off to his egg. You know, I have...
We're the shiznit.
I have...
Hey, that was cool for a hot minute, man.
I have reintroduced words into my vernacular from time to time. And one that just kind of has found its way creeping back in to what I say is gnarly.
Oh, okay.
I know it's old. It's ancient. It's actually way before my time. It's early surfer talk.
Yes, it is.
But I just always like the sound of that word. I've always liked the sound of that word. Dude, that is gnarly.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching a movie last night.
Yeah.
You ever seen a movie called Hard Candy before?
Yes, I have.
Gnarly, man.
Is it gnarly?
Gnarly.
Why is it so gnarly?
Because there's a castration scene that is gnarly.
I don't want to see that.
All right, anyway.
Well, all right, so let me ask you then, why? Because there are certain words that work its way into my vernacular, and I know it annoys you, Preston, because you pointed out to me, but I don't mean for it to happen. But lately, I've been calling people kid. And I don't know why. I'm calling kids, adult kids. I'm calling my dog kid, and I don't know why.
As in me referring to that person or talking directly to them. Hey, kid. What's up?
Hey, nice move, kid.
Oh, okay.
All right. Hey, kid. You know, like I
know a word that you use all the time. That gank.
Oh, gank. Yes.
Well, I mean, but that's a particular verb when you gank is a word for stealing or taking something belong to you.
Right, but that's a word that you use that's...
But that's just, not... No.
It's not a common word that I don't hear anyone use gank but you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's all fine and good, but I don't necessarily think that is the... That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is it's how I refer to people. For a little while, it was Dudeski. I would say, hey, what's up, Dudeski?
Okay.
Broski. And then it just sticks there for a little while, and then it'll go away.
Like,
and
like
Dudeski will leave, and then Kid comes in, and I don't know why that
it's
is.
Just the way, it's the way you, for example, one that's never left my vernacular, because I just think it sounds goofy and anachronistic, is funky. You know,
yeah,
and or funky fresh, because when you say that you're purposely trying to sound out of place.
Preston, you know? Did you use rad in the 80s?
Oh God, yes,
yeah,
and rad, and my favorite, and you guys are gonna love this, is bitch or bitchin'.
Oh,
yeah,
and in a positive way,
you know,
yeah,
in your
yeah, totally bitchin'. That is so bitch,
yeah. That's almost like fetch.
How goofy does that sound?
Yeah, but all
now?
Of the words that we hate are, I mean, like stuff like that is what we used
sure.
when we were their age.
Absolutely. I would have hated. Yeah, exactly.
So that's why our parents hated those words.
Your hair was probably blonder, right? In that time? Because you didn't go through like a blonde stage?
Yeah, but not at that point.
It wasn't bitchin'? Okay.
It might have been frosted back
frosted,
then.
Frosted, okay,
yes.
Yeah.
It was bitch.
What about what about using hella to describe something as very cool?
No.
Nope.
I've never done it. I've never really cared for it.
What about bequeath?
Not only in my will.
Only in your will.
I think hella was a West Coast thing, and some people tried to use it on the East Coast, like rad and gnarly and things like they worked its way from surfer culture to the East Coast.
And skateboards.
People thought that it sounded cool when it really just sounded annoying.
Mm. Yeah.
To me.
Do they have hella good dip? No, hella
good. Oh, yeah.
Hella
yeah.
But
yeah.
You could say that dip is hella good.
Hella yeah. good, man. Yeah.
I would never. But I would never. Do you guys have certain words that you only use with P&S people?
With what people?
With penis.
Hold on a minute.
P&S people.
Oh, I literally thought you were talking about penis people. P&S people?
You, like,
Preston and Steve.
I am listeners? A human being. I am not a penis.
Penis man.
I am not a human. Don't touch my foreskin.
Explain.
Like, oh, dude, you totally donked it, and that makes sense to me.
Oh, sure.
our uh-huh. own colloquialisms. Yes, absolutely.
Have you ever tried to use donk?
But listeners,
in front of somebody who's never listened to the show,
listeners will know that though when you say donk.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you know, Nell speak.
Nell
speak. Somebody texted in and said, this conversation is very boss.
Boss was another one.
Let's see. Swag needs to go. We're getting a lot of texts coming in. Let's see. How about bro? Some people hate bro and bromance.
A lot of hate towards bro on the text board today.
In it now using it to refer as someone or calling each other bro?
I think to refer to, like Victor Fiorello yesterday was referring to the number of bros in Fishtown as a negative thing. And I think that turns people off when you say there's, oh man, this place is filled with bros.
I think it depends, Preston, on the person who issues the bro. There are guy, hey bro.
Well, that's the way I was thinking.
It's heartfelt.
Of it. That's the way I was thinking of it. Of and there's a great scene from Central Intelligence, the movie with and Kevin Hart, and meets this guy in a bar, and he says, "Yo, bro, you got a problem, bro? Yo, back up, bro." And he's like, "Is that the last, bro? Or are we gonna get one more?"
We got another bro.
So I can't stand bro as using it that way. What's up, bro?
Yeah. For me it depends on who's saying it and how it's said. Because I can't just categorically say I hate bro because I heard people saying it yesterday, and to me that sounded good.
All right, here we go. People are saying, that's all I'm saying about that.
I was watching
it
my
sounded
standing.
Good.
Somebody says, get rid of ginormous.
Ginormous. Yeah,
I hate that.
Let's see. Somebody says, this conversation is sick.
Sick.
That will never get old for me.
No, because that's Cowper-ish.
Somebody says, everyone is Chuck. What's up, Chuck? Oh, I guess that's what they use.
Okay.
And speaking of Chuck.
Hey!
Look at D'Amico.
Hey, we all have our how you doings, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Chuck uses the word how you doing.
Can I
a lot.
Kill one of these while we're doing this public service here?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So the one that's always bothered me, I've never gotten, it's really old, and it still happens to me quite a bit, is when people go to say goodbye, whether it's on the phone or when they go to leave you, they just say the word late.
Oh, I don't like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friend Chris does that, and I don't care for
I have never had... So my friend Will does that. As they're checking out off the phone, they'll just say late.
Yeah. Late. Late.
So that was like...
I would. I'm sorry, Kathy, but just to jump in here quickly, I would say, excuse me?
Exactly.
I wouldn't understand that in any way as being
the
end of...
We used that all
really?
The time. Yeah. When we were in high school, that was like...
Always
late?
Bother me. There's still a few people I know that do it.
I know later.
Yeah, right. Later. Well, so later is already short for something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's already for talk to you later, see you later.
Yeah. Well, now you're short. Now you're short for something. Yeah.
No, but that was... We used that all the time. In, not now.
Late?
In high school. Yes. In the 90s, right. That was... It was late.
Yeah. Like I said, my friend Will, every time we get on the phone, it's late.
Late.
Really?
All right, well, let's change it.
Why don't you throw them off next time and go yeet.
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 Snarf.
It doesn't bother me.
I'll say snarf every time I get off the phone with you. For now on. Snarf.
Gank. Don't call me.
you have a guy that works at your gas station that cracks me up. Like, I've never met this guy, but he's like, hey, my boss.
My boss. Yeah, you are my boss. Yeah, yeah.
Steve, somebody texted in the phrase that was used often, and they said it was often used in Long Island in the 80s, but that's mint?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That is mint.
That is mint.
That car is mint.
Like, that's so cherry awesome. Or yeah. so great. Yeah, yeah. Or, all right, yeah.
Mint that's, is in brand new.
Like, oh, yeah. man. Yeah. Totally yeet.
Somebody says wonky is a great word.
I say wonky all the time.
But yeah, wonky's a legitimate, right?
Well, I mean, how are they saying it? Are they saying, hey, what's up, wonky?
Is it
what's it's up, wonky? A cross between a donkey and a wombat.
Because when I see something's not working right, it's acting a little wonky here.
And we're also like crossing generations here because there's no like young kids that are saying wonky. I think that's us.
My kids say it.
I tell you what, though, you will find kids embracing some of that vernacular because they're getting it through artists. You know, Preston, if you like listening to Queen or kids who are listening to rock artists that predate them. They're getting some of that older vernacular, you know. Like I'm not wildly up on my hip hop and rap slang, but I'm decent. But the rock stuff they can get through that venue.
I'm gonna go to. It says Sandro. Is this Sandro?
Sandro.
Sandro. What's up, Sandro?
What's up, guys?
Yeah, bud. What'd you want to chime in with here?
I hate when people use the phrase "send it," and I can explain why.
Okay.
Well, I know it as spotters for like long range shooting competition shooters. They say send it when they tell the shooter to literally send the round down range.
Okay.
Okay.
And people use it all the time when they are about to do something stupid, you know, with a truck or whatever. I don't know. I just find it stupid.
Something stupid with a truck. You have to be more specific than that.
I don't know. Like all the redneck guys say
with their peepees.
Like, I'm just gonna send it. They say, I'm just going to send it when they, you know, jump a quad off of whatever.
Oh, okay, so it's like, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to crush it. So they're sort of using send it that way. I'm going to execute this act.
As far as I know, that's actually a climbing term. So if you were able to make it up from the bottom of a climb, like a mountain climb or a rock climb to the top without stopping at all, you've sent that climb. And that's where I first learned it. And I think it's worked its way from sport to stupid things with trucks.
I have a button on my email that allows me to send.
Send. Oh, right. Yeah. Well, that's enter. Oh,
No.
That's weird.
You can click on send.
Which button are you talking about?
So I'm going to move along.
move along, Preston.
You could also use it in, like, throwing a ball. Yo, dude, send it.
Yeah.
Send it over here. So I guess it's got multiple uses. But you could use it for doing something stupid with a truck, I guess, if you like.
Hey, you over there, what are you doing with that truck? I'm sending it. All right, move along.
Here we go. Vince has one to recommend getting rid of. Hi, Vince. Good morning.
Good morning. It's an expression. It's get my blank on, get my work on, get my freak on.
Yeah, get my drink on, all that stuff.
Get my eat on.
Okay.
Get my send on.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know if I hear that one overused, but you definitely hear it a lot.
Many times it really relies on the person who's uttering that and in the way they're uttering it.
Yep.
You know, if Amber Heard says it to me, I'll probably be okay with it. But there are other people. You know
who's good for all of these words? Angela.
Oh, Angela's like, on top uses, of all yeah, that. Angela gets like an update. She's your bae and your boo.
My boo. I'm sorry. Not my bae. She's my boo.
And as soon as it goes away, Angela has already stopped using it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she knows when, if you say it, you can get an eye roll out of her. If yeah. it's already.
Like, oh, you're still saying that? We're done with that.
What color are your socks?
Yes.
Wait a minute, what's that?
She gave you crappier socks.
Your socks were too short.
They were too...
Change my apparel.
Yep.
God, that's...
If Angela Perfetto says you need to change your look,
you change your look.
Yeah, well, but I haven't because she doesn't like that, you know, my dress-up shirt. She's like, it's so tired.
Casey, I'm
like,
your shirt is a polo shirt.
I think you're on a fleek.
It is hella lame.
She told you your polo is tired?
I've got the color of the rainbow and polo shirt.
But she's right.
Yeah, I don't even wear them anymore.
How about Hot Minute?
I don't mind that one.
You don't mind that one?
No,
Casey,
like,
you say Hot Minute
so
occasionally,
quick,
right? I do, and I've heard, like, the for a cup of coffee.
Hot coffee?
No. Hot Minute is the same thing for a cup of coffee.
Okay.
You know, like,
I never heard that.
Yeah.
He worked there for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, he worked there for a cup of coffee. I've not heard that.
Really?
No, I've heard that a lot. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Hot Mess, because that's the one.
Hot Mess is another one, too. Yeah.
Warm Yeet.
I have to go back to the button. Late.
Snark.
Somebody says, my favorite human. Can we get rid of that?
No.
Again, it depends on the utterer.
I could get rid of that.
On the utterers.
Do you hear that a lot?
Yeah, like, oh, he's my favorite human, or she's my favorite human. Spirit animals, kind of.
Spirit animals, one cat. Yes.
He's my spirit animal.
Yeah.
I get it.
Hold on. Somebody says they want Marissa to participate more in this conversation, so we'll have to get some.
I think the perception is Marissa uses. I think we need globs of cops back in the vernacular.
Globs of cops is that's a military term. That's where she got it from.
God, there's so many.
We have a glob of the enemy by the perimeter.
A lot of people are saying literally, and that's a different conversation. That's using a word incorrectly as opposed to figuratively and literally. Ripe? No, that's...
Ripe for smell?
Do me a solid.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's an old one.
That's been gone for a while.
I used to love that, though. Why don't you do me a solid?
But it's also, I don't think it's used enough where people go, oh, my God, man, that is so over. You're really bringing me over, man.
What about
you're really bringing me over.
What about this disco stuff?
What about adulting?
No.
You're done with it?
See, it was cute. Somebody said it, and it was funny. And then it caught on for a little bit, and now it's just not original. Like, it's somebody trying to sound original. But it's not.
So there's one that I use occasionally, which is putting on my big boy pants when I have to. And that's my adulting.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Here's one. This is a catchphrase, however, and it is a sponsorship catchphrase. But I agree with this. It says, Dilly Dilly sucked from day one.
Not from day one. From day one, it was pretty damn awesome.
I didn't get into that at all.
It was
love
like the
love the sponsorship,
yeah.
love the relationship with the particular company, but I'm not a Dilly Dilly.
Well, it just got overused. It got milked.
Yes.
You know?
They milked that Dilly.
They did. And then it went with Philly Philly, which was obviously a great and wonderful moment when it happened, and then it lasted a year with Philly Philly and Dilly Dilly.
Yeah, I never really got into that one at all.
Like, were you a fan out of the gate? I think we all were with the "What's up" as part of the
when that campaign hit.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah,
and then it died very quickly. It just got over. It got banged to death, which I think was the same thing for me. By the time Dilly Dilly hit, I didn't get in early. I'm like, why are people walking around saying this?
Right.
Because I hadn't been seeing the commercials, whatever I was watching. I guess it was a lot of sports, and I don't watch a lot of sports on TV, so I missed out on that.
Is that funny?
Wasn't it derived from sports?
No, it was from the commercial.
It was from the commercial first? See, I didn't know that.
And believe it or not, Dilly Dilly actually has, if you go back to those like medieval times.
The Bible.
No, but it actually was... A phrase that was said. If you were to bring up the derivation,
nobody would know that. Dilly is what's going on? What's the situation?
Yeah.
What's the dilly?
It was originally what's the dilly-o?
What's the dilly-o? Yeah.
But if you go, all right. So I did like a trivia quizzo thing, and Dilly Dilly was the answer to this question. That I mean, if you were to go back a few hundred years ago, Dilly Dilly, and the way they say it in that commercial was actually. That's how it was said. It was a dilly dilly. And then my brother
loved it and used it. And it's so for me, when I was driving home from the Eagles. Eagles championship game last year, yeah. My brother was yelling out the window, Dilly Dilly! I'm like, oh my God.
What's the dealio?
And did it drive you a little nutty?
It drove me a little crazy, but people were responding.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah. And people did love it.
Everybody was on a high.
It's a little tired now.
I'm going to go to Damien. Hi, Damien. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
So I can't stand when people say bat-ass crazy.
Bat-ass crazy.
See, I like that because that just means she's so freaking crazy and you're just emphasizing that.
Give me a better thing to say then, Damien.
What's that?
Give me a better thing to say when you want to talk about how somebody is bat-ass crazy.
I don't know. Dumbass.
Dumb. Well,
yeah,
you know what?
Like,
Kathy.
Yeah, one person.
No. You made a comment, and it's interesting that you said she, because when I hear bat as crazy,
you think of a woman.
I think of a woman.
Yeah, of course.
It's a great way to describe a crazy, over the top girl.
I would agree.
And as opposed to a guy, I think
I go right to out of their goddamn mind or out of their effing mind.
Yeah,
and that I think that sort of seals it. But bat as crazy puts you in the right realm.
Yeah. Hang on. Okay, you want one I've never heard of? Let me go to Corey. Hey, Corey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, Corey?
Not much. The word I absolutely despise, all my friends use it, is the word bool.
B-O-O-L?
Yeah, B-O-O-L.
Okay.
It's used as an term, like Leo, of like hanging out or just chilling.
We're going swimming in the bool?
Pretty much, but like, the way when it was explained to me, like the origin of the word, is between the Bloods and the Crips. How instead of like,
don't they hate each other?
Yeah, but they work together on language.
Oh,
yeah, but like between them, the Bloods, like they didn't want to say like, chilling because it started with a C.
Okay,
changed it to like cool, and so they put a B in it. So now bull.
Bull. And they're just being silly.
Yeah, to me, it makes, when I first heard it, I'm like, what the hell kind of word is this?
Bull.
What does that mean?
No, this is the first time I've heard it, and I hate it.
I've never heard it before
yeah.
today.
You will never catch me dead saying that word.
Okay.
I won't catch you dead saying any word.
Yeah, but give him that, because technically he was correct. Okay. I mean, if he's dead and he's saying that word, he's living up to it.
If he's dead and saying words, he should call in.
No question. All right. Anyhow, well, clearly there's a lot of stuff, and there was a list that they come out with every year. It's a 45th annual list from Lake Superior State University.
Superior.
I assume this is only the largest of the Great Lakes.
Absolutely.
I believe this is only a partial list, but some words like yeet and collusion and litigate and crusty and importantly.
Importantly?
I don't know.
How the hell?
I don't.
And banished. And some of these maybe just have been overused in political talk as well.
I mean, the president.
Like collusion.
Love him or hate him, he's really ruined the word tremendous.
And ghosting, and there's a bunch of others. So, anyhow, thank you for sharing. We appreciate it. There's a lot of stuff that we could change, but bring back gnarly.
Gnarly is to me, has a nostalgic sound.
Gnarly's rad.
It's the gag me with a spoon of that time.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We have the B-File coming up, and we're also going to talk to John Clark, NBC Sports, and
gnarly.
Of course, going into the playoffs. We'll see what's on his mind. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Start the year off with MMR's fundraising scheme that's totally legit.
So your cash flows low and you need some dough, and I'm like, fund you. We can overload your pocket with $1,000 in cash, and I'm like, fund you. Here's what you do.
Introducing Go Fund Yourself. It's your shot at $1,000 cash 5 times every weekday, with a second chance drawing for $10,000 starting Monday. Tune in weekdays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear that hour's winning keyword. Enter it via the MMR app on your fancy thinking phone or
at WMMR.com. One random entry is picked each time and wins $1,000 in cash. Plus, everyone who enters qualifies for the second chance drawing to win $10,000. MMR's Go Fund Yourself, sponsored by Armor Metals and Recycling. For all your metal and computer recycling needs, complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Our next guest's got to get on a plane, so we want to talk to him right now. Going into Sunday, got the Birds in Chicago. Game's at 4:40 p.m. Please welcome our friend from NBC Sports Philadelphia, Mr. John Clark.
Yay!
Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, and I can absolutely verify what Kathy just said about the traffic. I am driving by on 476 at Springfield exit right now, and it is a problem going the other way, but thank goodness not going to the airport.
All right. Okay. Well, hopefully you'll make it there and make it to everything you need to make to on time. When are you supposed to get into Chicago?
A little bit later this morning.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was looking at the weather in Chicago for this weekend.
It's a blizzard.
No. Actually, temperature-wise, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that bad. It's actually tomorrow is going to be like sunny in the 40s. And
no wind.
And then Sunday, I don't know about the wind or not, but Sunday is going to be like cloudy and 39, high humidity. I don't know why, but every single time I think about this game, I go back to the Fog Bowl in the late 80s, and I just don't want anything like that to happen. I mean, in that particular year, I feel like was the year that the Eagles possibly could have won their first Super Bowl. And, you know, the fog came in and kind of, you know, it really leveled the playing field.
John, can you make sure there's no fog there?
Well, I'm not a weather guy, but I will say I think the fog was lifted when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and I think things like fog rolling in during an Eagles playoff game, I think those days are over. I think we're in a new era of good fortune for the Eagles.
Well, John, so Casey's, you know, we're all obviously, you know, fans and love what the team is able to do. Casey, this is everything. And so from my perspective, I mean, we were hearing a lot of out for the count, and here they are now. And it looks like with just a couple of variables in play, that the potential is there now. I mean, I don't want to jinx anything by making any statements. I'll leave that to you. But things look promising. They look very promising. So what's the general consensus? Because it seems to me the team does best when they just kind of put their heads down and they get to work. Is that what you're sensing from the team in general?
Yeah, look, these guys, when you're talking to them in the locker room this week, they say they're as confident as they have ever been. And, you know, when they hit rock bottom at 4-6, they could have gone two ways. And they got back to doing what they do. That means having fun, letting their personalities out. And they really started to gel. Nick Foles gave them a big lift. And I think when you come off of wins on the road against the Rams and the Texans at home, two first-place teams, you're riding a ton of momentum going into the playoffs, and these guys are all battle-tested. They basically had playoff games for the last 6 weeks, and they're going to Chicago to face a team where their head coach, their quarterback, and there's actually only 13 players on that team who have playoff experience. So the main parts of the Bears, quarterback, head coach, don't have playoff experience, and this is going to be a new thing for them. And everything ramps up in the playoffs. So I think the Eagles go into Chicago, a very experienced team compared to the Bears, who are kind of more like the Cubs.
Okay.
They haven't been in this situation before.
Yeah, I think this is a very, very interesting time right now for Eagles fans, because they make the playoffs somehow, you know, improbable, whatever. I mean, I counted them out a month ago. You know, after that Cowboys loss, I was like, all right, guys, let's pack it in. Let's get a decent draft pick for next year, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I think sometimes you find a little bit of infighting for the people who were saying, no, man, I believed in them the whole time. And then the other people that were like, no, I will admit and say that I thought the season was over. A month ago, I thought, okay, this, all right, hey, at least we won the Super Bowl. Let's pack it up and let's call it a day.
Hey, I did not think they would make the playoffs after that 4-6 game. But, you know, the Eagles' best players are playing their best this year. You look at Alshon Jeffery since Nick Foles has come in. He's really
taking that next step in the offense. And then on defense, Fletcher Cox, I talked to him in the locker room yesterday, and he said he's playing his best football of his career over the last month. And he's leading that defense, and you got Michael Bennett on the defensive line who got comfortable with his surroundings coming in here because he was kind of one of those outspoken leaders in Seattle. He has played his best football with the Eagles over the last month or 6 weeks. So you need your best players to be playing their best in these moments. And the young guys in the secondary, guys who were not starters before this, before midseason, before the injuries, they've grown up before our eyes. So this is a team that is really together. The guys all talk about how they love each other and they go out and play for each other. And there is also a part of this where Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey, and other guys, they have said they do not want this to be Nick Foles' last game in an Eagles uniform. They know he is probably not back next year, and they want to keep this going with him.
It's so wild also that the scenario plays out, you know, you have Wentz getting injured and then and Foles stepping in, and it's you know, will that be will that be the playbook for years to come? You know, bring in Foles after that, because it's there. You know, I don't know if you're Carson Wentz, how you feel about all this. I know he's a team player and it's all wonderful. I'm sure he would love to be playing, but it's happening again and things reversed again with Foles. So what's your take on that dynamic?
I don't think I've ever seen a situation quite like this where you legitimately have two quarterbacks who can win the Super Bowl. One of them did it, and he put the Eagles on his back to outduel Tom Brady. So we know Nick Foles can do it. And look, Carson Wentz admitted that he had to fight back some feelings of jealousy, seeing Nick Foles step in last year and then raise that Lombardi trophy at the Super Bowl and the parade. And you're right, it is happening again. And it's a real tricky situation because Carson's injury is not serious to the point where they deemed him out for the season. And there were parts or points of time where you said, you know what, maybe he could play through this. But I think they understand that they have that Nick Foles magic working again, and this is his team once again for the playoffs. And I got to tell you, there's not a lot of situations in sports, and you know this being in the radio industry, I know this in TV, where somebody else steps in for you and gets all of the accolades, gets all of the attention, and the team does just as well or better with him.
Right.
It's real hard to fight those human feelings of, wow, this is happening again. They really, really take to Nick, and he's leading them again to the playoffs. So, but Carson is such a good dude and has high character that he's totally supporting Nick Foles. And you don't see that in a lot of situations in high competitive business.
You have to be a tough, good person to do that. I think it would whittle away at the best of us.
Hey, John, over the last 3 weeks, it's been a lot of fun to watch the Eagles again. And so it's like, you know, just from a casual fan's perspective, the offense has stepped up. They've scored a lot of points. They've gotten a lot of yards. I was looking at the injury report yesterday. The only real significant injury right now is Nick Foles and his ribs. Can you talk a little bit about his status? And I heard he might be wearing some extra protective gear on Sunday.
Yeah, he told us he's going to wear only a little bit because he doesn't want it to affect his mobility. If you wear like one of those flak jackets or extra protection, you get your mobility stunted a little bit. And when you have guys like Khalil Mack that are able to rush through that offensive line and come after you, you've got to be able to move. But he said the ribs every day are feeling drastically better. And he was a full participant in practice yesterday, so he's good to go. And that's my one main worry because he's taken some shots over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the great things that identifies Nick Foles and his toughness. We saw in the NFC title game last year, he took a big shot. And then the last couple of weeks, he's taken some shots. But you know what? He stares down that rust coming right at him, and he completes those passes and takes the hit and then gets back up. I don't know if I've ever seen the link louder when Nick Foles came back into the game.
It was awesome.
After taking that shot against the Texans. So I don't think there's a big concern with his injury. And you're right, the offense over the last 5 or 6 weeks, They're scoring the third most points in the NFL with Nick in there. So I think on both sides of the ball, everything is coming together at the perfect time.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that there was ever really a question about the offense. Maybe the execution wasn't always there, but I mean, if you take a look at it, you got an awesome offensive line, you know, and then you take a look at the skill position players minus the running backs. And obviously, the you know, you would love to have Jay Jai and Corey Clement there. But, you know, our running backs are doing fine. But then you got you look at the three wide receivers that we're putting on the field in Alshon Jeffrey, Golden Tate, Nelson Aguilar, and then you got Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert. I don't know if there is a better receiving crew in the entire league. And if there is, please tell me who you think is better than what the Eagles are putting out there.
Well, I'll tell you, as far as being able to go up and get a ball, I don't know if there's anybody better than Alshon Jeffrey. We talk about DeAndre Hopkins' hands in Texas.
Yeah, but he's just one. He's just, and that's the thing. Like, Will Fuller's not playing for them anymore. You know, Demaryius Thomas is out. You know, obviously, Michael Thomas is great. DeAndre Hopkins is the best, to me, the best wide receiver in the game. But when you're talking about the whole core, I just don't see anybody being better than the Eagles.
Yeah, and I tell you, this offense changed when Nick Foles came in there and started to throw that ball up. They talk about Alshon Jeffrey. 50-50 balls are really like 90-10 balls for Alshon. Mm-hmm. And since Nick Foles has come in, he's thrown the ball 18 times to Alshon. Alshon's caught 16 of them. And that has changed the offense. And I think you're exactly right about the players you mentioned. I think you left out one guy, though. They're 5-1 with Darren Sproles this year. And he provides a matchup nightmare for teams. When you can get him coming out of the backfield and then they have a linebacker on him, that is a matchup nightmare. And you've seen them exploit that. And he's an added weapon that is so important to this offense. And they talk about guys at that size kind of getting lost. And some of the defensive players really can't see him behind the offensive line. That is exactly the way it is with the Bears, Tariq Cohen. This guy is such a unique player. He can line up basically at any spot. He's a running back, but also a receiver. And so it's going to be fascinating to see how the Eagles are able to defend him, because Fletcher Cox was talking yesterday about how, when you see that little guy, I think he's 5'6", 5'7", coming through the line, you want to tackle him right there, because he said, as a fat guy, I don't want to have to be chasing him down.
So, John, one final thing here. The I think something that really served the team last year was the amount of Eagles fans that were ready to get on the road and go and support them wherever they were playing. And it looks like Chicago is going to be no different. What's your take on how much Eagles fandom will be present for the game on Sunday?
Well, I tell you, it's a little different for a playoff game because it's such a, you don't even find out till Sunday, the night before, or a week before. I think it's going to be tough for the amount of Eagles fans that you saw on a lot of the road trips this year.
I think
it's going to be hard to equal that because of, the short notice. And I got to tell you, the Bears fans, they are diehard fans, and so it's tough to take over that stadium. But I think you'll see a little bit, and I think you'll see them be very loud. But I don't think you're going to be able to see the amount
we've
seen this year on some of the road trips.
All right, John, what should we look for as far as that coverage from you goes while you're there this weekend?
Oh, we got a lot of coverage. We got a special on NBC 10 on Saturday night at 7:30. We've got a pregame show from 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock on NBC 10. And also NBC Sports Philadelphia at the exact same time. So we've got a lot of coverage, especially because it's on NBC.
All right. Cool, man. Well, safe travels, and we'll get the info from you. All right, my man?
You got it. Great having the time with you guys this morning. I listen to you guys. You're the best in the city.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thanks, John. We appreciate it. Hang in there, man. All right, let's hear for John Clark, guys. Yes. NBC 10, NBC Sports anchor. And on his way.
He's so fetch.
He is. Oh, wow. That, bringing that one back.
That dude is like the hardest working guy in Philly sports, though, man. He's everywhere, and he's a great reporter.
Yep. All right, let's get into the B-File, because we got to do that now.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it is brought to you this morning by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. There's something for all of the snow lovers in your family at Jack Frost and Big Boulder. Skiing, snowboarding, or snow tubing, go to jfbb.com. Save up to 50% on lift tickets. JFBB, where the snow comes first. And a lot of people headed up there for Day Off on the Slopes today.
Yeah!
Pierre Robert broadcasting live, as well as Jackson. All right, so how about this? A Dutch astronaut has described how he accidentally contacted American Emergency Services on 911 while in orbit above the Earth. Andre Coopers describes the experience while speaking on a radio program about his missions and communications between the Earth, satellites, and astronauts orbiting the planet. He explained that while trying to contact NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, he missed an all-important number and accidentally called the emergency services, 911. He says that to reach the center in Houston, orbiting astronauts have to dial 9 for an outside line.
Right.
Followed by 011 for an international line. And, of course, while doing so, floating around in space, it's a little trickier than from a desk on Earth. He said, I made a mistake, and the next day I received an email message that said, did you call 911?
Space cops.
His comms slip-up set off a security alert at the Houston Center, he explained, with emergency staff to check the room where the space station's line connected to Earth. He said, I was a little disappointed that they had not come up here. Coopers, who completed 2 space missions totaling 203 days, explained that it is surprisingly easy to communicate with Earth while aboard a space station.
I didn't know that.
In orbit. He suggested astronauts can reach terrestrial phones via satellites around 70% of the time. And he would have to deal with some technical hurdles while saying hello to friends on the ground, though. For example, a significant time delay makes it difficult to have a proper conversation. He said sometimes people would hang up because they thought I did not say anything. So later on, I started to talk as soon as I dialed the last number so they would hear it when they picked
That's
up.
That's wild.
It is pretty wild.
Didn't know they could just simply do that.
Apparently you can do it. A homeowner in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Waukesha.
Awoke New Year's Day to find a neighbor passed out alongside Benton, her 150-pound Mastiff.
This is...
After drunkenly wandering into the house in the middle of the night.
This is a, Kathy, this is your kind of dog, a big, beautiful, you know, mook.
You'd want to snuggle it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lynn Sarver says that she discovered the man at 5:15 a.m. on New Year's Day after he stumbled through what police believe might have been an unlocked side door. Police say the man had no ill intentions and simply mistook Sarver's house for his own while heavily intoxicated.
I just banged the ugliest woman ever last night.
Sarver hasn't filed a complaint.
But this chick howled
against the man. New Year's Eve, of course, is a night when people like to cut loose and spend the night imbibing. But one man in Ibiza, Spain, decided to allegedly kick off 2019 with a double hat trick of illegal substances. Police pulled over a 31-year-old man in the early hours of New Year's Day after they spotted him driving erratically. When officers conducted roadside tests to determine whether the suspect might be under the influence, they were surprised to find that the man had been ringing in the new year with every single illegal substance their tests could detect.
Oh, my Whoa. God. So cocaine and heroin and booze.
He tested positive for cannabis, amphetamines, methamphetamines, cocaine, and opioids, and they suspect that he was drunk, too.
Wow. And I have child porn on my computer.
They searched the man's vehicle, which turned up a treasure trove of 6 purple pills, 20
wow.
pink pills, 2 bags of cocaine, and a brown substance that they haven't been able to identify yet.
They confused them.
It's unclear whether the man was also under the influence of alcohol, but they said that he displayed a reckless attitude. He faces up to 6 months in prison if he's convicted.
6 months for all that, huh?
Yeah. And I love this story, and we'll keep it short. We got to wrap it up. A Bob Marley hat helped police nab a man suspected of robbing a Dollar Tree on Christmas Eve. Quincy Gerard Petty also reportedly forgot to put on his mask. And when he walked up to the retailer and told an employee at the register that he wasn't playing, he said, open your register, I'm robbing you. And he later reached under his sweatshirt near his waistband and yelled, if you put your hands down, y'all done. Now, a store employee recognized Petty as the boyfriend of another employee. When he saw the man look at him, Petty remembered his mask and then pulled it over his
oh,
face.
Man.
Was it a Bob Marley mask?
No, the hat.
Oh, the hat.
Okay, yeah. He had a Bob Marley hat, and that comes into the story All later right. on. But But he sees a guy look at him, realizes he recognizes him, and then he pulls his mask down because he forgot to do it in the first place.
It's not me.
Another man accompanied Petty during the robbery. They took off with about $2,000 after store managers emptied a safe. They fled in a red SUV. Police tracked down a vehicle matching the description to a location near Petty's girlfriend's home. He and his girlfriend were found outside of a residence, and Petty was arrested. While he had changed his clothes, he was wearing the same Bob Marley hat that the store employees reported seeing on the suspect.
Oh, my God. Officers wasn't planned well.
Also found a crumpled envelope with the word robbery written on it inside of Petty's pockets, along with two coin wrapping papers and more than $600 in cash, mostly in $1 bills.
That's great.
So he labeled it robbery.
Yes.
He denied involvement in the robbery. His girlfriend said that he was with her all morning and that the incident was a setup by the store in retaliation for a complaint that she had filed. It was a setup.
And I see this paper on your refrigerator says, today commit robbery.
And there you go. That is what I have for you in the bizarre file. How about we give away some tasty beverage?
Ooh.
I have a chance for you to win a case of Yard's Signature IPA. And we'll take caller number 20 at 215-263-WMMR. You have to be at least 21 years of age. Perfectly balanced, loaded with American hops, and available in bottles and cans. So give us a call right now, and we can set you up. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
Jackson and Pierre Robert broadcasting live from Jack Frost today for the Day Off on the Slopes 2019 and a big-ass party in the E2000 Lounge. So hopefully you're going to be a part of that. If you're missing that one, just get yourself set for our event as well. So it's full MMR, but we kind of helm the Cardboard Classic part of it. And that will be the first Friday in March. And details for these events and all MMR events are right there at WMMR.com, so make your plans now. Also on WMMR.com, a couple of new Preston and Steve Daily Rush videos are up. We have one called Frozen Poles and Tongues. And
yes.
And we have one that is also director Jason Reitman when he came by.
He was great.
He was talking about the film Front Runner, about tabloid journalism, meeting political journalism. Both of those available now. You can watch them at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly. Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So I want to point you in that direction. I would like to talk about Kathy for a moment. Two things.
There are two levels to this story.
Well, okay, I know what you're thinking. But when I say two things, your boobs. Oh, those are two things. The other thing.
The other thing. Then the third thing.
Yeah, then the third thing. So last night, we do a conference call just to get an idea of what guests we have on the show the following day and some things that we might need to be aware of. So we all get on board.
This is how things run so precisely on the show.
And Casey was in the car with his kids and it was on speakerphone. Casey was driving, so he let us know that. Well, we don't all get on the call at the same time. It's a conference call and people join.
Mind you, I looked back because I felt really bad about this and I called in at 6:01.
Okay, yeah.
I was so a minute late.
You're a minute late. So Kathy missed a tiny detail about the call, and so we're talking about show stuff, and then Kathy begins to speak, and Nick, now there's a delay on the conference call.
It's sometimes, so annoying.
I know, I hate it.
It's the worst.
And we end up talking over each other, and it's tough. It gets a little confusing sometimes. And so Kathy and Nick were talking over each other, and Nick goes, go ahead, and Kathy goes, I mean, just as clear as day, F you, Nick. Full on dropping the F-bomb.
Right, yeah.
Casey's kids in the car.
Unspeakable.
And then she goes, I got a mammogram yesterday for the first time, meaning something to talk about on air.
Right.
And then so we're all kind of giggling, and Casey goes, did you know my kids are in the car or were in the car?
No, I did. I think I said to my kids, hey, kids, did you effin hear that? Kathy's getting a mammogram.
Yeah, and Kathy.
And Kathy.
Kathy got a mammogram.
And then you made them say, bye, Kathy.
Bye, Kathy. So they get out of the car, and then it's just us, the adults, on the phone call, and I'm laughing my ass off. And I hear Kathy go,
well, wait, hold on. You're all laughing.
Yeah.
I'm like,
laughing
heartily.
Yeah.
Like, in my head, I'm thinking, it's not really that funny. Like, it's clinical. It's a mammogram.
It's a mammogram.
You can explain what that is.
And then Casey goes, oh, well, how about the top of your lungs F-U you threw out there? You didn't even realize
that. Yeah, no.
Oh, my God.
2 seconds earlier.
I said a clinical reference to a breast exam.
That's all I was thinking in my head. I was like, what are they? It's not that funny. What are they laughing at?
God.
Yeah, completely forgot about the FU prior to that.
It was
and
hilarious.
Then Kathy sent me a text afterwards. She was like, I guess, mortified. It's all right at this point. My kids are a little bit older. A couple of them have heard it a few times.
Yeah, but you're like.
Never really from me, though.
But that's what I was going to say. You're like me. We don't curse in front of the kids, and I know that. So the fact that it was like so clear and loud. Nick was like,
was.
Go ahead, Kathy. So it was quiet so I could talk. And I was joking with Nick and the rest of you, not knowing that Casey's kids were in the car.
Oh, man.
But so the fact that they heard it so loud and clear, I feel bad.
It was super crisp, super clear. And, yeah.
Well, we do that all the time now. Like I do it with my friends are like, are you in the car by yourself now?
Yes,
I am in the car by myself. My best friend, Mike, he knew that my son was in the car, and then we were talking about something, and he goes, yeah, man, that was so much effing fun as S. And, you know, he just keeps on talking, and I turn back to Seamus. I go, hey, Seamus, don't you think that was so much effing fun as S? And he just thought it was so funny. He just started cracking up laughing.
Did you actually say the words?
I actually nice. Said the words, yes.
We have a thing. My wife automatically answers if somebody's in the car. She goes, hey, you're on speaker, you know. Yeah. And so just so you know right off the bat
well,
what's going on.
There's certain
baby,
people.
I just thought I'd give you a call.
There's certain people that will call me or I'll call, which I'll never put on speakerphone because I just know. I know where the conversation's going. I know what the language is going to be.
All right, so Kathy had a mammogram.
But anyway.
Hey.
Your first ever.
We were all there.
Yes, thank you guys for coming. Late? I appreciate that.
Kath, when are you?
When are you supposed to have your first?
Yeah.
40. What age?
40.
40.
Okay.
Oh. 40.
Yeah, and you know what?
Okay.
Listen, typically I would ignore the suggestion to go at 40 and you know, push it off, and I didn't this time. I had to go for something else, so they scheduled it at the same time, and I kind of was like, oh well, if I need to cancel it, I'll just cancel it. I'll go next year or something. Anyway, I ended up there and I did it, and the lady, you know, they sit down with you before, and she said, have you heard horror stories? And I said, yes. She goes, are you nervous? I'm like, well, a little bit, yes. I've heard it's pretty painful.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. How hesitant were you to go in and get this done, or how nervous were you going in? Like, as nervous as knowing you're going to get blood drawn or a shot or something like that? So we know how you feel about that.
No, like, blood drawn, I hate. There are other things I also hate, like going to the gynecologist. That is, like, I'd rather just
I go all
not.
The time.
Because
it's just fun. I'll hang around and I well, make tongue depressor monsters, and it's great.
Yeah.
My neighbor is a doctor.
Speculative creature.
She's an OBGYN, and she always, like, she'll check in with me, and she'll say, have you gone to the doctor this year? You have to go.
Steve, do you do that thing where the speculator, you pretend like it's a duck's
it's
beak?
It's so great.
All right, here's a dumb question. But do you get a mammogram at the gynecologist? I'm sorry,
that's
a dumb question.
No, you go and get, you know, it's at radiology.
You go to the boobie doctor.
No. It's just it's radiology.
It's a clinic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you do both boobs at the same time?
No. Or? So listen, I had no idea. I didn't know what to expect. I really never got too much information. All I heard was that it can be painful. But what the woman explained to me was back in the day before technology advanced and we have.
They used to nail them in place.
Well, no, but she said that it was like metal equipment that they were using. And basically your boob has to smush down.
Yeah,
they have
to spread make a pancake.
Out, yeah, they have to spread out the tissue so that they can see. And she said the machines used to be metal. So, yes, it was very painful. Mm-hmm. She said now it's just a little discomfort. So, again, I was still a little bit nervous, but she assured me. She was like, you'll be fine. And it did not hurt. It wasn't painful. It was just, you're just kind of in a weird position because they have to get the whole breast into this machine and then smush it.
Did anybody comment on, now we know you have a perfect vagina. Have your breasts been deemed perfect as well, just so you have the full compliment?
Yeah, the tech said your breasts are beautiful. No! Idiot.
Listen, I shouldn't probably say this, but I see them all day. And these are mint.
Mint.
Kathy, to that point, a lot of women had thought, and I hear my wife had the same thing. So, you know, she's, you know, there's that fear of that pain. It's something you absolutely by necessity should get done. And there's another test that even doesn't involve that they say is a good one to get. But so it's a lot more. You didn't have any pain at all?
No, it was just discomfort. Like she said, she kept telling me, she's like, I know you're nervous, but you have to relax. She said, this is the only time you want your boobs to sag.
How long did it take for them to puff back out again?
I mean, no, it was quick. I mean, they put it's plastic now. So, again, it was sort of just like a hard squeeze, and they
flatten
it out. Is it
like packing overstuffed luggage?
Kind of. Yeah, okay. It was a little bit like that.
How long would you say that your breast was pinched in that thing?
I think it was like, I want to say it was like 10 seconds. They had to do they did four images, two on each side. So it was like, I don't know, 10, 20 seconds each time.
You ever
get
a penis gram? It's the same thing, Preston.
Okay.
Yeah, they just,
10 seconds.
Yeah, they put it in a flat iron and panini press.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a panini press. That's what it was.
Are men supposed to get mammograms?
I saw a text of a guy who has gotten one. Maybe if you have a family history, because men can get breast cancer. It's very common, but it can happen.
Dr. Mike checks me when I get my checkup. Yeah. Okay. And he also, he gives me my pap smear, but I'm not so sure that's necessary.
I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah.
Nick, I actually have no clue, but I don't know how a man would get a mammogram. I mean, it was pretty difficult for her to get my boob in there.
They recommend, Kathy, a pajamagram instead.
Oh, my God.
It is, though, men do get breast cancer, but it's one of those things. We're talking about phrases, and my phrase of putting on big boy pants, and that's one of the things, you know, getting those tests that you know, the colonoscopy and all that stuff that you should get. I'm due for one this year. It's no one loves it.
You know what I hate is the simple act of getting x-rays done on your teeth when you go to the dentist.
Oh, I like that.
You like that?
Well, you Why? Hate the dentist.
Hang on a minute. No. Because I was talking to the tech last time I went, and she goes, okay, we're going to, you know, they put the thing in there, you bite down on it, and she goes, after all these years, they still have not found a way to make that more comfortable. Like the plastic parts dig into your gums and stuff, and it's just like...
It's just the nature of the film.
Right? You don't move, you got to stay like this, and like this really hurts, and I got to stay like this.
And like I'm crazy about that. So I love my dentist, and she's awesome, and I'll fall asleep in the chair while they do their stuff. That's how good they are. But I make sure that vest is pulled up all the way over your esophagus because, you know, that's... If you irradiate your esophagus, you can cause esophageal.
I'm just talking about the little things you bite down on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like that, Nick?
There's something cathartic
erotic.
About it to me.
Wow.
No, cathartic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was what I was going to say. And, I find it relaxing. And the dentist office that I go to, they do it much quicker. And there's not the iron curtain that you have to pull over yourself like traditionally you would have to.
Okay.
This was the first time I ever heard of this. I went to the dentist not that long ago. So not those x-rays, but more of like a full jaw and mouth x-ray?
Is it a thing that spins around your head?
I didn't see it. I didn't do
I've had that.
I've had it
before at a different dentist's office.
I never even heard of it. They said that you should get it done like once every 7 to 10 years.
They did it in preparation for my hysterectomy.
Mm.
And again, I'm not sure that I'm needing a lot of these procedures.
Well, they're looking in the wrong place.
Yeah, but it's a preventative thing.
I'm going to go to Bernadette. Hi, Bernadette. Good morning.
Hi, I'm calling in and... This is a positive story in the end, but in the beginning it might not sound too positive. Actually, I actually know Casey too. My husband went to high school with him. But I'm calling because I had a mammogram in 2015, September or October 2015. They said, I thought I pulled something. I thought I felt something. I just felt like something wasn't right. And I had a mammogram and they said everything was fine. 2 months later, I had to get genetic testing because of history of cancer in my family, and they had ordered an MRI of my breast, and they found 2 spots after that of breast cancer. Now, I'm fine now. I went through treatment. Everything's good. It was early stage, but I'm just saying the mammogram is not the end all. If they suspect anything, people should probably get an MRI.
Yeah, it's. I've heard a number of women say that as well, Bernadette, that it's just it's an extra thing. It's like the PSA test for the for prostate cancer. It's something that people sometimes get dismissive of. But it's, listen, the more information you have, the better.
Yes, you know what? They asked me a number of times, a number of different people in the office said, are you here because of an issue or is this just routine? So I guess meaning if it was an issue, there may have been additional testing.
Why are you here?
All right.
You'll just see on the bottom of your results of your mammogram may require additional testing or may have dense tissue. And if it says that and correlate with your doctor, you probably need an MRI.
Okay. Thank you,
thanks,
Bernadette. Appreciate it.
Know.
All right.
Sure.
What's the worst medical test you've had?
Test?
Yeah.
The one that was barium enema.
You had a barium enema?
Yeah.
I mean, that was bad. The flexible sigmoidoscopy was also bad.
Okay. Yeah, that one sucked.
Because, you know, it's unlike the colonoscopy, you're totally awake and not drugged up at all.
Oh, wow.
But the barium enema was very similar to that, except I had to keep that thing in there and move around.
Yeah.
Why do you have to be awake?
I don't know.
Because it's unnecessary. I mean, they're
they
not
don't want
going,
you to miss it.
They here we go. They go into the colon up to where it makes that little turn, and that's pretty much it.
So
they're only going in a couple feet in your butt.
Got it. Right.
They're not taking the entire tour. Which
only 12 more feet to go.
Which is much more involved, and therefore you need to be sedated for that. But I remember I got that done once, and I remember feel it. You know, the beginning part of the trip is not that fun, but when it gets deep in there, it. I remember the proctologist that I went to, he goes, oh, yeah, that's really grabbing on.
By the way, I see a lot of these, and yours is gorgeous. You
because
also...
Mine would, like, cramp up and would, like, grabbing on to it. So, yeah.
And they were using... Fun. They didn't have the micro cameras. They were using a Polaroid for you. And
yes,
that was
it
very...
was... Well, and I got to keep those, which was nice.
You had to open up your mouth as your picture slid up.
Press, you having your pilonidal cyst lanced...
Yeah, but that wasn't a test.
Oh.
That was a procedure.
That was a test.
That was the most painful thing I've ever experienced. But Steve was just asking about a test.
Yeah, some. Listen, it's wise to get them all. The one that I had, they basically stuck the thing that they would put the dilithium crystals in the Enterprise. They stuck that up my ass. So it was a test, but it was for the prostate thing. And Penn is one of the few hospitals that has this ability to test this way. That was unpleasant, but the. The hose down the when they stick it down your nose.
Yeah, that sucks.
I was having upper respiratory issues last month, and I went in to see Dr. Mike. Just the throat culture, sticking the swab down your throat. I can't stand that thing. And he did the other one where he went like directly through my nose, like he came straight
that
on.
That one's gross.
That I can't take it.
You have a lovely gag reflex. Oh my God! You took 3 feet of this. Oh, my God. I'm so turned on. By the way, Preston, this is a wonderful anus you have.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right there. When they have to do the hose in the nose.
It's called the Horshack.
It feels so bizarre and uncomfortable. And
they numb
so
it, they're, but they're, still. They're,
it Kathy, doesn't matter.
So I've had it done a couple of times because I'm getting this. Both Preston and I are going to try to have procedures done during the same week, things that we have to take care of. And
when are we doing this, by the way?
This will be in April.
Okay.
Having that, I've had it done twice, and the information was incomplete that, you know, they need it for this procedure. It's nothing. It's totally fine. Everything's good. But they're going to put me out next time and with the propofol and work the hose in, wake me up, make me swallow the liquid.
Oh, geez.
And then pull it out because it's, you know, I did it like a champ, but it's. There's only so much you can do, you know?
I thought of one that was worse, Casey.
I don't know how porn stars do it.
It was, I'll have to be delicate with my description here. It is, have you ever heard of sounding before?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know what that is?
Is it like docking?
No. Okay.
Well, it has to do with that particular piece of equipment.
Like a catheter.
Yeah. Okay.
You had that?
Well, not a catheter, but it was, because of an issue I was having. No. It wasn't that thick, thank God. Imagine something like a guitar string.
Oh my God!
With a little serrated? Swab on the end of it, serrated like, you know, a saw. I'm talking about the thickness.
Horrible.
Of a guitar string with a swab on the end of it.
Through the peepee.
Going in there. Yeah.
Why? Why?
The technical term is the pee hole.
Do you know sometimes something?
There was some blood.
Oh, just for fun. Yeah, you got a long weekend.
You know, I've always wanted to try this.
Hey, Doc, I want to come in and try that the serrated wire in the pee hole thing. Can you put me down for? Is anyone canceled today?
For me, a lot about of it is in my head. You guys know that, but when they do a pap smear for a woman, you really can't feel it. But the thought of what is happening. Almost makes me want to, like, I feel like I'm going to pass out a little bit.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you're not good with needles. You're not good with a lot of
that
stuff.
It's like a swab. It's just a swab there.
Arr.
On your uterine wall or something like that? Yeah. Sorry.
God.
Oops.
Oh, God.
Sugar walls, as Sheena Easton described it.
That would be better for me.
Sugar walls.
Your sugar walls look great.
I've had the camera. through the tip.
Oh, no.
And you have to get local anesthesia, as you would imagine. The thought ahead of time, Kathy, is dread. But then...
This is kind of nice.
Well, it's not painful.
Bad. What are you doing after this?
It's Steve. Have you had it? The camera?
No.
Okay,
I've all been nasal.
It goes all the way in and up. This is for kidney issues.
Yes, they do it often for that.
And so it had to go through the front.
What was the pain level like?
That's what I'm saying. The pain wasn't bad
because
there was local anesthesia.
Okay.
The local anesthesia down there was not fun, and the anticipation ahead of time. But here's the weird thing. When they stick it in and up and they're scoping around, you can feel it in there.
Yeah.
And then they have to pull it out. And the process by which that happens is like the worst urination feeling you've ever had in your life.
Oh, my God.
So I would say this.
So happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah, no, we should stop talking.
Have
about
a good
this
weekend.
Well,
right
there's
now.
One more, because Nick, you don't know this, but before they had the cameras, they used to have to send in a sketch artist. Preston.
With a headlamp.
With a headlamp and the whole thing and a little pad. That whole process, the catheter.
Yeah.
When I had the robotic prostatectomy, that was the big thing. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! They put it in while you're under.
Yep.
And then extraction of it was nothing.
Yeah.
But you and I tell this to guys when I tell them who are facing this kind of surgery, your mind wants to tell you the worst stories and wants to scare the crap out of you. 90% of these things, they may be uncomfortable, but it's wise to get them done.
My friend was in a really bad car accident. He broke his pelvis. He had to get a catheter done. But he also, because he had other injuries, they had to run the tube up the nose.
Yes.
He said the tube up the nose was much worse.
Yeah.
He said it was worse as far as sensation goes.
Well, worse than the discomfort of the mammogram was accepting that I was 40.
The pain.
It's real now.
Sweetie, do you have someone to drive you home?
Well, no, Steve... So I did go to...
Dear, this sweet woman needs a ride home.
No, Steve, I almost took out the nurse at the doctor's office because she said, now, do you still get your periods?
Oh, my God.
Like, as if I was in menopause. I was like, I'm only 40!
Do you remember when you got your periods years ago? You know...
I'm still young!
Now, this isn't like the malt shop with Fonzie.
Wow. Kathy, did you ever think you'd say the words, I'm only 40?
I was like, I looked at her and I was like... Yes. And she was like, okay, just something I have to ask.
When does that happen?
When do you have to start dusting your vagina?
The change?
The change. When does menopause?
I mean, always thought it was like around 50.
Okay.
Usually happens after you ride a horse.
I think it differs.
I think it can come early, it can come late. But
some people get it earlier. It's,
Okay, so now with this first one out of the way, the mammogram.
You love it now,
is
right?
It yearly?
I don't know. I'll probably never go.
Because I know with men, prostates every 10 years. Or, I'm sorry, colonoscopies every 10 years. Prostates every time you visit Dr. Mike.
Even when he just comes by here.
Well, not me anymore.
No, you don't have to worry about that anymore.
I can bring mine in a jar.
Every 1 to 2 years, you get your mammogram after the age of 40.
Okay.
Again, as bad as any of it is, having the test that I have saved my life.
You know
so
what?
I'll take that.
They should do singing mammograms, Kathy. You know,
where they just sing a nice song to
you've got some great knockers. You've got some great knockers.
Premenopause looks like Casey. Menopause is roughly between 43 and 57 or something like that.
So I should be
average age 51. You should be hitting that very soon, yes.
All right.
Hey, a quick call because Art had breast cancer and has gotten mammograms.
Before. Okay.
We're talking about guys, it's very rare. Hey, Art, how you doing, man?
How you doing, guys?
Good, buddy. All right, so how long ago was this for you?
Well, 3 years ago, I actually had the surgery. And, they got that. I had a mastectomy and... I thought I was all right, and now it jumped in my bone, so I just get chemo like 3 times a month, and so far so good.
Okay. So the prognosis is positive for you, Art?
Well, I mean, as positive as it can be. I mean, my doctor, he's great as he is. He doesn't have a crystal ball. I just have to go and get my tests done. But I have a lot more respect for women, what they have to go through, because, I go in the waiting room and there'd be a bunch of women in there and they'd come out and I'd try to have some humor. They'd say, Arthur, I'm like, how'd you get?
Yeah. Hey, Art, so, let me,
Let me ask you. So, did you have cancer in just one breast?
Yes.
Did you have the double mastectomy? Anyhow,
I had just a single.
Okay, because women a lot of times now opt to get them both.
Yeah,
just on the chance that there might be an issue in the other one.
And the reconstructive stuff is so
They're great at it.
Yeah.
I didn't opt for any of that. They did a pretty good job, but you know. I just make the best of what it is, and I try to keep my humor, and, you know, that's all you can do, But as far as the mastectomy goes, that was weird when I went in there, and you have to go through that. So when Kathy was talking about it, it all came right up, about the, you know, getting the test and all that. You know,
Art, may I ask because you're obviously a man, would we just see a scar, or is there, because would it... What does it look like post surgery?
Well, it's pretty smooth. They just took everything off and just smoothed it out and stitched everything up, and that was it.
So relatively normal.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad to hear that at least you're doing well, and hopefully it'll continue that way for you.
Well, thanks a lot. I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and I want to continue to listen to you for a long time.
Excellent. Yeah, well, we want that as well. Yeah.
Thanks, Art. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Take care. All right, Kathy, somebody texted and said, I love Kathy's 36 C's. Did they get it right?
No.
Okay.
She's 40.
40 years old. Yeah. Come on. That was 4 years ago.
36, 4 years ago.
Right, well, anyhow, well, listen, I'm glad it wasn't an unpleasant procedure.
No, it really wasn't bad at all.
Cool. Did you take pictures or no?
Yeah, they'll offer you a picture. So. You can get them with the Easter Bunny.
Yeah. Do you mind taking with myself?
All right. With that, listen, we got to take a quick break because we have a guest who's going to be popping in here a little bit. He's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club. I'll tell you all about him when we get back. Stay with us, my friend.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, what's up? It's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Jack Frost and Big Boulder ski areas are officially open for the season. And WMMR's Day Up on the Slopes with Pierre Jackson is January 4th. Tickets are available now at WMMR.com while supplies last. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to handandstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Aerosmith on the side, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks, don't you know? It's about 9:14 Friday, President's Steve Show, so keep in mind that it is Friday, and we'll give away our Word of the Week prize. We can do that at the end of the show. Not too far off, and hopefully we'll be able to check in with Pierre at Jack Frost.
Yes.
Day Up on the Slopes happens today. We were checking the audio feeds, and it sounds good. We hear the background noise at the E2000 Lounge. That place is going to be a mob scene later on today.
Pandemonium.
Yep, and it's a damn good time. So we'll check in with the fellas and see what's going on. Let's take a look at traffic, see how we're doing. Kath, what's up?
Schuylkill Expressway westbound still jams from Pass Young to South Street and then City out to Belmont. The Blue Route to Gulf Mill, slow eastbound the Blue Route into Gladwin. And then from Montgomery to Spring Garden. 422 eastbound slows Trooper to 23. On Route 23 through Valley Forge Park, you're jammed right at 252. And then on 95, looks like we've cleared out southbound. The Vine Expressway westbound slowing 95 to Broad Street and then the Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill. 55 northbound still jams Deptford to the 42 freeway. This traffic report brought to you by Giant. Don't let cold symptoms slow you down. Go to Giant and see your friendly pharmacist for advice and exactly what you will need. Giant's friendly, experienced pharmacists are happy to help you navigate through cold season. And that's your traffic.
All right, thanks, Kath. We are happy to welcome to Philadelphia for the first time.
Yes.
His appearance. And our guest is going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow night. Please welcome Sam Comroe.
Yeah.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Is it good for Sam? I have written down here Samuel J. Comroe.
I know. Everybody asks. It always sounds worse when I hear it back. But, yeah, it's Samuel J. Comroe is what I started going by when I was 17.
All right.
But I'm fine with anything. You can call me whatever. I'll still
whatever the hell we want.
Yeah, yeah. I'll stay.
Leading with this, and you probably get this every single time that you sit down to do an interview, you were diagnosed with Tourette syndrome when you were 6 years old, I think?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're tired of having that be the first thing that people dive into?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's I get it. It's why when I started comedy, I didn't really talk about Tourette syndrome because I didn't want to be the Tourette syndrome guy. I just wanted to be a funny stand-up comedian. And now it's just kind of who I am, and it's an inspiring thing, and I totally understand it, so I'm good with it.
It can manifest in different ways for people. I see you have a blinking tick. Yep. Do you have verbal tics at all? Or
yeah, you might hear into the microphone. It's like a
okay,
like a beatbox.
But you don't do the cursing or anything
No.
That.
No. Okay. When I cuss you out, it's from the heart.
Okay, it means something.
Yeah.
It's very mild, actually.
Yeah. When I was younger, I had similar tics. I would blink, flare my nostrils. I would clear my throat and things like that. Never got diagnosed, and it will rear its head every once in a great while.
Well, so what's the difference between that and Tourette's?
You might have Tourette's. A lot of people go undiagnosed. It's like one of the most common things that... Yeah.
Would that fall into the realm of a very light version is it all in the Tourette's family, or is it just simply someone has a tic?
Yeah, I think it all kind of falls in the Tourette's family.
Oh, that's interesting. Ah, okay.
I didn't know that.
There we go. But
you've just been diagnosed.
There you go.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Father. Would you like to do a colonoscopy? America's Got Talent was where you first came to, you really had a career leap, correct? I mean, you'd been on Conan and things of that nature prior to that, yes?
Right. I did Conan in 2012, and I had a couple little things happen, but AGT really took it to the next level.
And it's funny because I hear people, and we talk about this, I've talked about it many times, about the double-edged sword nature of that, because there is a you'd been working, you'd been paying your dues, but a lot of people see that as a fast track. This guy's just trying to bypass all the road work,
right.
And you've done that. So what was your takeaway? Because it did help you a great deal.
Yeah, in a huge way. I've been doing it for over 10 years.
Yeah.
I started stand-up when I was 17 years old. So I've been grinding for a long time. A year ago, I was performing in the college cafeteria for one person, eating a pepperoni pizza, so I don't even have his full attention.
Right,
and 20 minutes into my hour show, he decided, hey, I'm going to go to the bathroom. So for 40 minutes, I performed for a pepperoni pizza. So look, I paid my dues.
Yes, you've done it.
Yeah, I did
I've been
work.
There as well. Yeah, I did stand-up for a while.
Yeah. That was my pay. That's all I got. Yeah.
All right, so, but I find, I watched the one set on America's Got Talent, and I think it's just a weird setup because, at least to me as the viewer, what it looks like is you go out on stage, you do a little bit of an interview with the host and the judges and everything like that, and then they go, okay, now do your act.
Yeah.
Which to me is a weird way to start your act. Like, wouldn't you rather just like get called out onto the stage, do your show,
and then talk after.
And then talk afterwards.
Yeah, I thought so, too. That's how I would normally... That's how most comedy shows are. The host introduces you. You don't go out and talk to everybody. You go out, you do your set. And but for AGT, it just... The judges have so much power, and the fans love them so much that it almost benefits you to
play
along. Do the interview if it's going to go in the right direction. And they kind of they help me by putting in a good word for me and making me comfortable on stage before I did the set.
Well,
so it was an advantage.
They also want, and all of these shows glom on to, like the Tourette's thing or whatever, they want to make that a backstory, and they want that, that's understandable. They want to get the most emotional import they can get. And so that they cut right to that. But, in general, those audiences can be tricky because I guess if they love you, then maybe they're overly exuberant. And then, you know, all that stuff to deal with. Give us your impressions on what it's like performing, because it's not a comedy club.
No, yeah. Performing in a theater of that size in front of that many people is really weird. The laughter almost throws you off. I like it better when people don't laugh as much. It's like,
right. The pizza was the best audience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I said the first joke, and it got such a pop that it threw me off.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't anticipating it. And then the first audition, I got a standing ovation after, like, the second joke, which was so weird because it was just, like, a wave of people. Like, they didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, they were learning for the first time. They didn't stand at the appropriate time. And
that's
then,
wild.
And I thought I was supposed to end, but I still had a joke. And then they were just kind of standing there.
Yeah.
Because they did it too soon. So they're just like, I guess we just chill here. And
while you're doing that, wrap it up. Are there cameras? I assume it's being covered, obviously, but is that annoying because you're getting close-ups, you're getting... Are there actual cameramen bopping around in front of you? And
yeah.
Because that would be distracting as hell, I would think.
Yeah, it's chaos. The only way I was able to get through it was cameras everywhere, crew everywhere, and I just had to really, like, put the blinders on and focus on my set.
Yeah.
Can we go back to the standing ovation real quick? Because that is now just the default, I'm going to give you some applause, especially on America's Got Talent. They give a standing O for everything.
I know. It doesn't feel as special when you say
no.
It felt better when I said it.
Now you realize just really how hollow it was.
Right.
I mean, I'm not trying to bring your act down or anything.
No, it's real.
It should be, a standing ovation should be deserved.
Yeah.
Not just because you have Tourette's.
Yeah. No, I agree. I completely agree. I hope I also deserved it, but yeah, I agree. If that was the case, I think I would have just gone, hey, I have Tourette's, and then stopped and just basked in it.
Did you miss something by not yelling at the audience for standing up?
Yeah, I know. I missed opportunity.
Sons of bitches.
I just watched them and said, here's a few of my favorite tics.
Just shown a video of me as a child.
Did it ever work in your advantage growing up? I mean, because you're a genuinely likable guy, and your material is not just that. There's mention, you know.
Right.
Were you ever able to use that to your advantage, you know, with women or whatever? You know, sometimes you can, if you're savvy, you can work these things.
Right. Just get a standing ovation during a date or something like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
No, I was an introvert my whole life. I got picked on a lot. The typical story of growing up with it, and Tourette's used to be way worse for me and stuff like that.
Oh, so, was it? Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't really my outlet until I started doing stand-up comedy, and then that's kind of when I took advantage of it.
Was it Chappelle? You watched Chappelle doing stand-up, as the legend goes, and that was
did
it for you
100%.
Yeah. How'd you get on Conan?
I did the so Ricky Gervais was on Conan like the week before I did it, and he did this competition where he just kind of looked into the camera and said, I'm going to do a comedy competition, send in your videotapes to the Conan website and I'll choose my favorite comedian.
And you'd just been working in clubs at that point?
Yeah, I was just doing local LA clubs.
Wow.
And I sent in my 2-minute clip and I got chosen to the final five, and then I landed to do like a crappy college gig and Ricky Gervais. Yeah, exactly. Always pizza. It's always some type of food. I've been paid in burritos, mozzarella sticks, all the good stuff. And I landed and just saw that Ricky Gervais sent me a message saying I'll be on Conan
the next day,
which, yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah,
nice. I want to ask you about a tweet that I saw. You wrote, ended 2018 by closing out a 3-hour show for an elderly woman that fell asleep during my set. And then you wrote, blessed.
Yeah.
which, by the way, we had a conversation earlier this morning about words that need to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is one from social media that I'm sick of seeing.
Yeah, for sure. I left it in 2018. That was my final.
Very good. Did somebody fall asleep at your show, or were you just playing in that?
No. Yeah, they put on a 3-hour show. It starts at 9 o'clock, which no comedy show should be that long. It should be an hour and a half, 2 hours max.
Mm-hmm.
And people always want to stretch it out. So they do the 9 p.m. start, and then they have an intermission, which is also like just an awful idea for a comedy show. Kills the whole flow.
Totally.
And it almost felt like we just did two comedy shows.
Yeah.
For the same crowd. So they come back from a 45-minute intermission.
Oh, Jesus.
And then I don't get on stage till 11:20. And they want
That's
me to
horrible.
Do the countdown. And by the time I walk on stage, grab the microphone, this lady's just falling asleep on her husband. And just wine mouth, like red lipstick everywhere.
Those shows are the worst. Tiffany Haddish just had a horrible...
Yeah, she bombed.
She bombed on... And she's a solid comedian. When I was doing stand-up, the money had to be good to do it, to do a New Year's Eve show, because it was just, it was horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone is going to be drunk by the time they get there.
They don't want to sit down and think about, get your observations on life. They, you know,
yeah, they
no
want
matter
to party.
How
yeah, what yeah. are they doing there? Yeah, it's their fault, to be honest. I don't know why they bought
the
tickets.
Damn them. That's right. When you do stuff like that, or the specialty shows, or do you do cruise stuff? Do you ever do that?
No, I heard horror stories about cruise ships. So I stayed away from them.
Is there anything you won't do?
No, I mean, if a cruise ship called, I would do it. Just in case there's a listener out there that does work for it. Yeah, I would.
I just wanted to be clear that I will absolutely do whatever I hate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%.
So you also have you have a daughter and turned one recently, I see, as well. Her name is it Zaina or Zaina?
Yeah, yeah, Zaina.
Zaina.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that name come from?
It's an Arabic name. My wife and I are Muslim.
Okay.
So she wanted me to choose one, and it was the prettiest name that I saw.
That is
so,
a pretty name. Yeah.
That's cute. Nice.
Yeah,
is that a fairly common name?
No, that was the other thing. I've never heard it, so I thought it was a cool, unique thing to do.
Nice.
And I just wanted to follow the Hollywood celebrity. Just it was that
it
or
could
Apple.
Have been Chicago.
Yeah.
Any one of those.
Think you guys will go again?
No one's ever said go again, referring to. Yeah.
I don't just mean the sex part. I mean having a baby.
Right. Yeah. We'll go three or four more times for sure.
What, this year?
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. It's been a good year so far.
Yeah. As they say, rack 'em, stack 'em, and pack 'em.
Right.
So you got a ton of artwork done on your left arm, it looks like. It right now it's all black and white. It looks like it's going to be filled in, though. Are you going to go color there?
No, I'm going to leave it black and white.
Leaving it black and white?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, is there a theme to it?
It was from my mom. She actually, I felt like for a while my career was turning into a Final Destination movie, because when I made my TV debut on the Conan O'Brien show 2012, 2 days before that, my mom passed away.
Oh, my God.
And then 6 months later, I was on BET. My uncle passed away. And then it was a few years. And I was just trying to figure out who I had to kill next to get back on TV.
Jesus.
I had five sisters. They were holding hands watching AGT the whole summer. Like, don't vote. Vote for the Asian magician. We're going to get through this.
No, dude, I would. Listen, I'm big on believing that stuff, but that's it's more than just happenstance. You know?
Yeah. It was just it was a crazy thing that started happening. And then I got the sleeve, though, for my mom. And then my dad, I got a microphone and a cord that says love your audience, because he's been texting me that since I was 17 before every show.
Love your audience.
Yeah, I think it's really important. It's a lot of people get jaded, or you're on the road for so long, you can kind of phone it in a lot of nights. And I just try to remember, like, people paid to be there and you know, they came out to support. So I want to try to give my best.
It's a good attitude to have. I mean, and it's because that if you're not in it for the genuine love of making people have a good time, then there's no reason to be doing it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I agree.
I follow a lot of comedians on social media, and I really like that most of the time they support one another. And it's social media is such a strange animal. You never quite know what you're going to get, because there can be such vitriol and hate over it. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like the community among comedians is a positive one. Have you experienced that?
Kind of. It just matters what group you're in.
Who sucks?
There's a lot of
well,
people.
Well, the Ricky
giving...
Gervais story is what made me think about that, because he was supportive of you, and I think Conan is incredibly supportive of comedians, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But there can be hate. There can be vitriol.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think a lot of the bigger comedians understand that if you just love each other and appreciate each other and support each other, that you're going to be successful. And at the lower end, I think where people are trying to make it, and if you don't get that big break after a long time, you become bitter. And so there is a lot of hate on the lower level.
Yeah,
for sure.
You're just jumping in. It's Samuel J. Comro. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight, tomorrow. Where are you from, by the way, Samuel?
From Los Angeles.
From L.A.? Okay. Born and raised?
Born and raised, yeah.
All right. And I was reading here, and tell me about this, doing a little research in 2014. The police actually got called because of an act you were doing at a Baptist university. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I was performing at Houston Baptist University. It was the only time I've ever been arrested. I do hundreds of college shows every year. So before the show, I asked the administration, is there anything I should not talk about? The lady said, just don't cuss. I said, can I talk about sex? She said, absolutely. Show started. I do a Q&A during my show, where I invite the audience to ask any questions and just interact and do some improv with them. And first question I got was, a student in the front row put his hands up and said, what is sex like with Tourette's? And immediately the same lady I talked to before the show stood up in the way back and yelled, no.
What?
Yeah, and I had a split-second decision to make, and I responded, Yes.
Absolutely. Wait, that you cannot do that.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's that's the problem with college shows is people think that the students are PC, but it's not. It's the adults. It's the teachers and the administration and the parents and stuff. Huh. The students were very supportive and wanted to be educated.
Yes, the question.
Okay. All right. So you end up answering the kid's question.
Well, she yells no, and I say, yeah, I'm going to do it, and she says, no, you're not, and I said, I'm absolutely going to do it. We talked before the show, so this wouldn't happen. You're interrupting my show, and
yes.
And then she turned off the lights.
And so, like, it ended right there?
Well, she turned it off, but I said, bitch, I still have a microphone. And I said, sex with Tourette's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no. I was testing the limits. I heard a lot of talk before I got on.
Get out of here. Sex.
That's my bad.
We're going to turn the lights
Tourette's
on.
Tourette's is crazy.
Yeah. A blatant S-bomb you can't get away with. My bad. Unfortunately.
But yes, so then she went to get the cops, and I took the opportunity to answer his question before they got back because I didn't want to be arrested for not answering.
So what, like a 10-minute show?
Yeah, it was. I think it was like 15, and the cops came and escorted. Yeah, I got paid. I love that. Yes, I got paid.
I mean,
went to Chick-fil-A after. Yeah, it was a pretty good day.
Did she ever cop to giving you clearance and then rescinding it while you're on stage, or was that ever?
No, of course not. I mean, because it looks bad on her, and she'd be the one that has to take the fall. So she, I don't want to call her a coward, but.
Coward.
Yeah. But yeah, she told me I could do a certain thing. And that happens a lot of colleges, though, where they tell me I could do a certain thing, and then I say things like I just said on air.
and they go nuts.
They let me say, and then I get emails afterwards that say, you know, he said these words, and I was like, I always ask if I can say those words. And, you know, they take the fall, so they don't want to take the blame all the time.
But what a win-win, because think about this, okay? You got paid.
Mm-hmm.
You only worked for like 10 minutes or so.
Right.
And probably somewhere it was written up that a comedian was arrested at Houston Baptist University. You get press.
I got to get this guy.
Ever had. Yeah,
you're a story. That's how Lenny Bruce started.
That was my first AGT. Yeah. My first moment.
That's funny.
Wow, man. So how about goals this year? Brand new year. People set some goals for themselves. You got anything going on?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm working on a Netflix special right now, and then an animated series about my family and me growing up. So I got five sisters, brother. My parents were separated but lived under the same roof.
Wow.
And it's just a chaotic family, and then obviously me growing up with Tourette syndrome. So trying to make a cool, funny, animated, edgy series about it.
Let me ask you about the Netflix thing just quickly. You make the deal, and they say, okay, here's this, because we, like, Bert Kreischer's a friend. We have a lot of comedians are friends of the show, and they've done the Netflix route. But I don't know if it works all this the same way with every one of them. Okay, we like what you do. Here's this amount to produce a stand-up special, and then you go do it. Or how does it proceed once you get the green light from Netflix?
Well, that's what I've heard. Yeah, I've yet to get the green light.
Okay.
We're in the process of I'm sending in the half hour to an hour footage, and we're kind of going back and forth on notes.
All right.
So, yeah, and the other thing that they've been doing lately are they'll do a series of half hour quote unquote episodes or shows
like Jay.
Well, so you had the degenerates, and now you have comedians around the world, and so what you had said earlier in the interview now totally makes sense because. I noticed in the last one with the comedians around the world, it was like Neil Brennan and a couple of those guys.
Chris D'Elia, yeah.
That's how you say it, D'Elia?
D'Elia.
I always want to say Delia.
I know.
Yeah, me too.
And then, yes. Yeah. And then this new, I've never heard of Deanna Smith before, but like, I love that lady.
Yeah, yeah. Super funny.
But then the crowd changed. And so that to me makes sense what you were saying, like hour and a half show. Okay, so what they did is they had these like three or four comedians come out, do their, you know, 20 to half hour set, and then they clear the room altogether, and then they have a different show, but it's under the same umbrella.
Right.
So you have a couple of different options there. You can either, you know, be like on the roster of one of those things or have your own special.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I'm not picky. I'll do cruise ships, so I'm down for whatever.
Honestly,
whatever they offer.
Sign a deal with Papa John's and perform for all their pizza.
You've done it before. Got experience.
That's actually brilliant. That's what I do this for. I just want free stuff. If Papa John's wants to send me any pizza.
Well, listen, it's Samuel's first time appearing in Philadelphia, so please make him welcome. Go see him. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. This is 7:30 and 10 p.m. show. Each night, and tickets are available at heliumcomedy.com. Man, thanks for stopping in this morning.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. Appreciate
nice to meet you. Samuel J. Conroy. Yes. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Here comes the MM Army. What's going on?
Saturday from 2 to 4,
Jackie Bam Bam rocks sizzling Saturday at Sprint, 5602 Concord Pike in Wilmington. Get the best price on unlimited plans and no activation fees on new lines. Plus, win concert tickets and other prizes. MMR and the Franklin Institute have teamed up to send you to rock like a Viking. Go to WMMR.com for the chance to win a trip to the Roskilde Festival in Denmark. Want a true-to-life Viking experience? Go to the Franklin Institute's Vikings Beyond the Legend exhibit. Tickets and info at fi.edu.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
We started on Twitter a response to a conversation we had earlier this morning. The word or phrase that needs to completely disappear in 2019.
Yes.
So if you want to contribute to that, you certainly can. There's a lot of people that are.
Yeah, a lot of traction on this one. I think it's on Instagram as well.
You want me to roll through a couple of these?
Yeah, please.
We have a couple of minutes. John is on there. My tribe or my village.
Okay. No, yeah. But I assume heard, I know how it's used.
I've heard my tribe a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard tribe as in family, though.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Their tribe and all their kids and what their tribe does.
Exactly.
Shut up.
Well, it used to also be a thing like part of the tribe if you were Jewish.
No, but this is a right. Yes, but this means as in your family, your yes. group, your peeps.
Your yeah. peeps, your homies. You will.
But, you know, but mainly, yeah,
what tribe. I'm getting over is this is my ride or die. My ride or die is okay. My significant other.
Oh, I haven't heard that. Okay, interesting. There's a few other ones here. How about...
I saw word, one.
What?
No, sorry. Anything with the word Kardashian in it is what it one says.
Yes,
that's yeah. right there. Yeah. Yep, that's on here as well. Snowflake. I'm tired of hearing that one, too. My current situation. Haters. No worries. Starting every sentence with the word so.
Yeah, that's me.
I do that too.
Oh, really? Do you guys?
I've
never noticed that.
We have a lot of crutches.
What's that, Casey?
No, just we all have a lot of crutches, and I don't think we're all aware of our own personal crutches.
Okay.
I think that one is one of mine, as well as I think I say the funny thing is.
Okay.
These are things that are pointed out to me.
All right.
By the way, my friend John sent me a message. He goes, hey, by the way, my friend put this out on Facebook. Does anybody else find Casey Boy annoying? And I'm like, why would you send that to me? Why? I don't need to know that.
And he's your friend?
No, he's not. Not anymore, he's not.
Friends, no one will help you learn how much you suck quicker than friends, quote unquote. That happens a lot.
I don't know about that. About sending that to you.
Why would you send that to
me? Hey, by the way, people are saying this about you.
Case, this person that I know thinks you're annoying, and they're trying to find other people. They're trying to find a We Find Casey Boy Annoying Club.
Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend.
All right. There's a few other words. Journey is another one.
Yes, that can go.
Let's see. The OG.
What's that?
For reals.
For reals? That's that time had... That ship had sailed,
for
reals.
What's the OG?
The original gangster?
Yes, I don't really know. Okay. And there's a bunch of jokey ones that aren't really, like Flyers lose again. I'm tired of hearing that, too.
Chimp.
Anyhow, if you want to jump on board and add to that, you can certainly do that. Our social media posts on any of them, I assume. Marissa put that stuff up. So, all right, we're going to do the Bizarre Five.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you this morning by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware, with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. A man was arrested in Bangor, Maine, Thursday night for allegedly breaking into a home while wearing no pants. Officers responded to a call at around 10:30 p.m. for the homeowner.
That would have been legal if he was wearing pants?
Maybe. Who reported hearing noise from the lower level of the house. Police said that upon checking, the homeowner found a strange man downstairs who wasn't wearing pants.
I'm looking for pants.
The homeowner called the police and hid in another room until they arrived a few minutes later. Police found Brian Sweat in the kitchen after he had allegedly rummaged through the homeowner's purse and several cabinets and drawers. Police said that they found Sweat in possession of some of the homeowner's property. Sweat, who has no known residence, was charged with burglary and theft. Nothing about not having any pants, though, Steve.
So I mean, he's in Bangor, Maine in December with no pants. Like, what if he was just, like you said, Steve, he was just looking for
pants, to steal some pants.
Yeah. Really cold.
Need pants.
I need pants.
A former Ninja Warrior contestant chased down a group of teens after an alleged car theft and carried out a dramatic citizen's arrest. Loki Koroy.
That's a cool name.
Loki. Yeah, it's a girl, by the way. Loki Koroy, a former Army recruit who competed on season 2 of Australian Ninja Warrior, has called for tougher punishment for car thieves following the incident. Koroy said that she was woken with a bang in the early hours of the morning, saw her Nissan had been taken. After reporting the alleged theft to police, she turned to social media to help track her missing car. Tip-offs sent her on a pursuit through the suburbs of North Brisbane, and by the afternoon, she was led to a car park near Bushland. I said, these people were in my car. I saw the damage to my car, and I just thought, you know what? They're not getting away with it. So I got out and I did something about it. Took less than 5 minutes for police to arrive, releasing a 15-year-old teen from a headlock that she got him in.
Oh, that's wild.
And one teen was charged with assault and assaulting a man at the scene, but not with stealing the vehicle. They ended up tracking the other kid down, but she snagged him and put the kid in a headlock.
Well done.
A woman in Florida is behind bars after she allegedly held up a postal worker with a toy gun. Deputies arrested Lita Cristomoto on charges including aggravated assault and armed robbery. Now, deputies responded to reports of a woman threatening people with a weapon and found her riding a tricycle and holding what appeared to be a black and silver gun.
Wow.
Which turned out to be a toy.
This is not a motorcycle, by the way.
Witnesses said Cristomoto used the weapon to force a mail carrier out of his truck, then made him hand a package out of the back to her. She was detained without incident. She later told deputies that she was God and that voices in her head were controlling her actions. No one was injured and the postal worker got his package back, deputies had said. A man and his friends working on his property in Gorman, Texas, made a disturbing discovery after watching a rattlesnake make its way under an old hunting cabin. Well, this guy, Bobby Cohen, and his two friends decided to lift the cabin with a skid loader to get a better look at the snake that they saw. When they did, they discovered a nest with at least 30 rattlesnakes underneath.
Holy hell.
Yes.
Put it down.
All the snakes had been living under the cabin. Startled, they slammed the building back down, but they managed to lift it up once more when one of the men captured the video.
We're still here.
The video has been viewed more than 3 million times on
Jesus.
Facebook.
That's Could you crazy. Imagine that?
A nest of rattlesnakes.
I didn't realize they kind of congregated nests.
Yeah. All right, and then finally, we'll end with this one. I like this one. Imagine finding a gecko in your food.
I can't even imagine that.
A Singapore-based snack food company apologized after a customer found a dead gecko inside a package of deep-fried fish skins.
That should have been in the deep-fried gecko package.
Yeah, Jane Holloway. I think it would have been the other way around. I found some fish skins in my gecko bag.
Yeah.
Jane Holloway said in a Facebook post that she and some relatives were eating a bag of Irvin's salted eggfish skin.
Sounds good.
That they bought from a store in Bangkok when they discovered the lizard, which appeared to have been cooked with the fish.
Oh, my God, that's gross. I was sucking on my fish skin, and I noticed a dead gecko.
Holloway said that the company apologized and offered her a refund, offered to cover any related medical bills, and told her the production had been moved to a cleaner new facility in December. So
I was eating my bag of pig rectums, and I noticed a gecko.
Will you get a refund?
Yeah.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. We're going to take another break. Come back in a second. When we return, something to give away. We'll see if you've been paying attention, how much you've learned listening to the Preston and Steve Show today. We'll do the lesson question. We have trash, we have music news, and more coming up. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We started on Twitter a response to a conversation we had earlier this morning. The word or phrase that needs to completely disappear in 2019.
Yes.
So if you want to contribute to that, you certainly can. There's a lot of people that are.
Yeah, a lot of traction on this one. I think it's on Instagram as well.
You want me to roll through a couple of these?
Yeah, please.
We have a couple of minutes. John is on there. My tribe or my village. You ever hear those?
No, yeah. But I assume heard, I know how it's used.
I've heard my tribe a lot. Yeah.
Well, I've heard tribe as in family, though.
Right, exactly.
Like, yeah.
Their tribe and all their kids and what their tribe does.
Exactly.
Shut up.
Well, it used to also be a thing like part of the tribe if you were Jewish.
No, but this is a right. Yes, but this means as in your family, your group, your peeps.
Your peeps, your homies. You will.
But you know, mainly,
what I'm tribe. Getting over is this is my ride or die. My ride or die is my significant other.
Oh, I haven't heard that. Okay, interesting. There's a few other ones here. How about...
I saw one.
What?
No, sorry. Anything with the word Kardashian in it is what it one says.
The yes.
Yes, that's right there. Yeah. Yep, that's on here as well. Snowflake. I'm tired of hearing that one, too. My current situation. Haters. No worries. starting every sentence with the word so.
Yeah, that's me.
I do that, too.
Oh, really? Do you guys?
Listen,
I've never noticed that.
We have a lot of crutches.
Annoying.
What's that, Casey?
No, just we all have a lot of crutches, and I don't think we're all aware of our own personal crutches.
Okay.
I think that one is one of mine, as well as I think I say the funny thing is.
Okay.
These are things that are pointed out to me.
All right.
By the way, my friend John sent me a message. He goes, hey, by the way, my friend put this out on Facebook. Does anybody else find Casey Boy annoying? And I'm like, why did you send that to me? Why? I don't need to know that.
And he's your friend?
No, he's not. Not anymore, he's not.
Friends, no one will help you learn how much you suck quicker than friends, quote unquote. That happens a lot.
I don't know about that. About sending that to
Why would you send that to
me? Hey, by the way, people are saying this about you.
Case, this person that I know thinks you're annoying, and they're trying to find other people. They're trying to find a We Find Casey Boy Annoying Club.
Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend.
All right. There's a few other words. Journey is another one.
Yes, that can go.
Let's see. The OG.
What's that?
For Reals.
For Reals? That's that time had... That ship had sailed, for reals.
What's the OG?
The original gangster?
Original gangster. I don't really know. Okay. And there's a bunch of jokey ones that aren't really, like Flyers lose again. I'm tired of hearing that, too.
Chimp.
Anyhow, if you want to jump on board and add to that, you can certainly do that. Our social media posts on any of them, I assume. Marissa put that stuff up. So, all right, we're going to do the Bizarre Five.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you this morning by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. A man was arrested in Bangor, Maine, Thursday night for allegedly breaking into a home while wearing no pants. Officers responded to a call at around 10:30 p.m. for the homeowner.
That would have been legal if he was wearing pants?
Maybe. Who reported hearing noise from the lower level of the house. Police said that upon checking, the homeowner found a strange man downstairs who wasn't wearing pants.
I'm looking for pants.
The homeowner called the police and hid in another room until they arrived a few minutes later. Police found...
No one's in here.
They found Brian Sweat in the kitchen after he had allegedly rummaged through the homeowner's purse and several cabinets and drawers. Police said that they found Sweat in possession of some of the homeowner's property. Sweat, who has no known residence, was charged with burglary and theft. Nothing about not having any pants, though, Steve.
So I mean, he's in Bangor, Maine in December with no pants. Like, what if he was just, like you said, Steve, he was just looking to steal some pants. Really cold.
I need pants. A former Ninja Warrior contestant chased down a group of teens after an alleged car theft and carried out a dramatic citizen's arrest. Loki Kuroi.
That's a cool name.
Loki. Yeah, it's a girl, by the way. Loki Kuroi, a former Army recruit who competed on season 2 of Australian Ninja Warrior, has called for tougher punishment for car thieves following the incident. Kuroi said that she was woken with a bang in the early hours of the morning, saw her Nissan had been taken. After reporting the alleged theft to police, she turned to social media to help track her missing car. Tip-offs sent her on a pursuit through the suburbs of North Brisbane, and by the afternoon, she was led to a car park near Bushland. I said, these people were in my car. I saw the damage to my car, and I just thought, you know what? They're not getting away with it. So I got out, and I did something about it. Took less than 5 minutes for police to arrive, releasing a 15-year-old teen from a headlock that she got him in.
Oh, that's wild.
And one teen was charged with assault and assaulting a man at the scene, but not with stealing the vehicle. They ended up tracking the other kid down, but she snagged him and put the kid in a headlock.
Well done.
A woman in Florida is behind bars after she allegedly held up a postal worker with a toy gun. Deputies arrested Lita Cristomoto on charges including aggravated assault and armed robbery. Now, deputies responded to reports of a woman threatening people with a weapon and found her riding a tricycle and holding what appeared to be a black and silver gun.
Wow.
Which turned out to be a toy.
Witnesses, is not a motorcycle, by the way.
Witnesses said Cristomoto used the weapon to force a mail carrier out of his truck, then made him hand a package out of the back to her. She was detained without incident. She later told deputies that she was God and that voices in her head were controlling her actions. No one was injured and the postal worker got his package back, deputies had said. A man and his friends working on his property in Gorman, Texas, made a disturbing discovery after watching a rattlesnake make its way under an old hunting cabin. Well, this guy, Bobby Cohen, and his two friends decided to lift the cabin with a skid loader to get a better look at the snake that they saw. When they did, they discovered a nest with at least 30 rattlesnakes underneath.
Holy hell.
Yes.
Put it down.
All the snakes had been living under the cabin. Startled, they slammed the building back down, but they managed to lift it up once more when one of the men captured the video.
We're still here.
The video has been viewed more than 3 million times on Jesus. Facebook.
That's Could you imagine that?
A nest of rattlesnakes.
I didn't realize they kind of congregated next.
Yeah. All right, and then finally, we'll end with this one. I like this one. Imagine finding a gecko.
A gecko in
your food.
I can't even imagine that.
A Singapore-based snack food company apologized after a customer found a dead gecko inside a package of deep-fried fish skins.
That should have been in the deep-fried gecko package.
Yeah, Jane Holloway. I think it would have been the other way around. I found some fish skins in my gecko bag.
Yeah.
Jane Holloway said in a Facebook post that she and some relatives were eating a bag of Irvin's salted eggfish skin.
Sounds good.
That they bought from a store in Bangkok when they discovered the lizard, which appeared to have been cooked with the fish.
Oh, my God, that's gross. I was sucking on my fish skin, and I noticed a dead gecko.
Holloway said that the company apologized and offered her a refund, offered to cover any related medical bills, and told her the production had been moved to a cleaner, new facility in December. So,
I was eating my bag of pig rectums, and I noticed a gecko.
Will you get a refund?
Yeah.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. We're going to take another break. Come back in a second. When we return, something to give away. We'll see if you've been paying attention, how much you've learned listening to the Preston and Steve Show today. We'll do the lesson question. We have trash, we have music news, and more coming up. Stay with us.
Got an Amazon Echo, Spot, or Dot? Make sure you first enable the MMR skill. Alexa, enable MMR. Once you do, it's easy as pie to listen to MMR's live stream, the Preston and Steve Daily Podcast, or the Bizarre Files. Your wish is our command with simple voice-activated access to WMMR. Alexa, open MMR.
First, I would like to thank our guests on the program. As the Birds head into the wild card playoff weekend, we want to thank John Clark for being on the show this morning.
Our friend from NBC, and he feels
pretty confident.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty reliable source, smart man.
John sent me a text when he got to the airport that just simply said, you guys are the best radio show in the country.
Wow.
It was really nice of him.
That's nice. I know we were friends. I didn't know that that he appreciated
it. He owes us money.
Yeah, right. The check's in the mail.
Yeah. Well, that was cool, though. So anyhow, we think John. He's on his way to Chicago right now. So are a lot of people, I would imagine.
Chicago!
If they were playing on Saturday, I would definitely think about going.
I know you and Marissa absolutely would, but it would be too difficult to make it back for the show.
But Sunday morning,
are you going to try, Marissa?
She's definitely going.
She's thinking about it.
I guess I will not be surprised if Monday. So there's a whole thing that a lot of people are talking about the Bolt buses, which are, you know, I don't know what the travel time is from here to there. Was it 6-7 hours?
No, it's they said 15 hours travel.
15. That's way off.
If you're gonna do the rails or a bus, they said count on about 15 hours.
What the hell am I saying? 6-7 hours? Yeah, yeah. So
it takes you 5 hours to get to Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
so.
Clearly out of my mind.
No, but you could fly out there. You could literally fly to Chicago at like noon, watch the game, and then hop on a flight home and be home around like 12:30, 12:45 at night.
Or you could sit in your living room and really watch the game as well.
I mean, you know, Preston, you're still going to paint your face. You're still
All that stuff. Marissa, you going to try and do it?
I thought about it. The flights were like super expensive. I actually went down to Baltimore, I told you guys the other day, or D.C. for the game last weekend, and immediately looked at the flights, and they were like $700.
Mm-hmm.
Casey and I went back and forth. Southwest was a little cheaper, but not much. Casey, plug your ears because you're going to get really mad at me for saying this.
No, just say it.
Okay. My friends already have a B&B saved for New Orleans.
Super Bowl?
New Orleans.
Yeah.
New Orleans. And you can leave right now from Philly on Sunday morning for $29.
You
can leave Philly on Sunday morning.
I can leave Philly for free.
For $29 and make it down to New Orleans before the game.
We're talking about this weekend.
I know.
She's getting way ahead of yourself.
That's why I said plug your ears, Casey.
Yeah.
Marissa already knows where she's going to be standing for the next Super Bowl parade.
That could be the most advanced planning you've ever made in your life.
Probably.
Marissa is last-minute decisions.
If they win this weekend, then they'll be in New Orleans next weekend. If they make it to the Super Bowl is in Atlanta.
Okay, I don't know these things, so sorry.
I'm the idiot
in the room.
No, I'm just... Letting you know.
I had already ruled out Chicago.
Not when I'm here.
What's that, Marissa?
I had already ruled out Chicago because it just wasn't possible. I couldn't make it back here.
Okay.
And that's my number one priority.
I wasn't sure if you were going to try maybe just kind of...
I still have every confidence that there's a shot that she'll say she saw the game in person.
If it was a Saturday game, I'd be there.
You know what Marissa would do? Steve, you remember in the movie Green Berets with John Wayne?
John Wayne, yeah.
Where they hooked that blimp up to the guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the plane comes by. Yeah, and they did that in one of the Batman
Dark Knight
movies.
Yeah.
So, Marissa would do that.
Yeah. I want to go to the game.
That sounds awesome.
All right. Thank you to John Clark for being on the show. Also, thank you to Samuel J. Comro. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. There are two shows each night. Well, it's actually the Saturday 10 o'clock show sold out.
No, it's the 7:30 show. Tomorrow night is sold out.
I'm sorry. Okay, so heliumcomedy.com.
Everything's sold out.
So
you have no option.
We're always so accurate.
Tune to us.
He's playing in the Super Bowl. That's all we know.
Information. We're your John. Okay. I am going to see. I don't even know where on the board.
17.
Okay. Button number 17. Hit it. Turn it up. Pierre Robert, are you there? Nice to hear from you, sir.
Oh, my great. Balls.
Exactly my thinking.
Yeah.
Great to hear from you, kids. It was fun listening to you on the way up. And right through the tunnel when it turns into a Christian station, 93.3, the Jeff and Judy Jesus show happens. And
Jeff
that's
and Judy Jesus?
Yeah, the Jeff and Judy Jesus show, and God bless them, and that's all good. There's room for everyone in this beautiful world.
Of course.
But it's so funny that MMR turns into the Christian station when you get, you know. Unfortunately, we don't own the 93.3 all around the world, as we should.
Yeah.
It should be 93.3 wherever you are, but... once you get through that tunnel, within a short period of time, it turns into a Christian station. And so you can,
that's funny.
You can do praise music all the way. I praise Preston and Steve, and I praise Jesus, and I'm praise the fact that we made it for another day off on the slopes.
Yeah. What's the weather like there, Pierre, right now?
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking out the window. We have almost sun. It looks like, you know, it's actually a little cold, but it's perfect here. You know, sometimes we are deceived by not having snow in our region, thinking there's no skiing. And these resorts up here are so able. I mean, they've mastered the ability to make snow. And they always update. I'm looking at a snowmaking machine that looks like a Mercury space capsule. I mean, it's just really amazing how high-tech they've gotten with the ability to make snow. They do all these scientific measurements, and there is snow everywhere on the ground and people getting on and off the chairlifts. So it's another one of our day off on the slopes. It's number one. Number two, of course, will be when you kids come back in a couple of months and do the Cardboard Classic. And I'm staying here until you come back.
No. Yes.
I'm not leaving the Poconos.
Why not?
Yeah. I'm camping out. I'm getting a tent, and I'm going down to Holiday's Lodge and going to camp out till you guys come back. It'll be my praise Jesus moment.
Oh, well, that'll be your new radio station.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Padre Pierre.
And see where you get.
Nice.
All right.
All right, let's get that letter from you, and then we'll see what you got in store, okay?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show brought to you today by the letter...
A as in Apple.
All right.
Apple. That was very Jerry Lewis.
We'll take caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR. Caller number 9, you get to have a guess at this and give us the answer and hopefully walk away with a pretty cool prize today. So obviously you're in the E2000 lounge, right, Pierre?
Right. It's about to open to the general populace, and people will come in at 10:30 and start drinking, which is a fine way to begin your day. It's great fun, though. I mean, it's so much fun up here. It always is. They run a great resort. They really know how to do this, and we've had some incredible deals that people could come up. Skiing is not a cheap sport, so we've been able to, by virtue of our partnership with Jack Frost and Big Boulder over the years, give great deals to our MMR listeners, and many have taken advantage of it and come up and taken the day off and started their weekend early, so that's fun. Lots of people are here. The parking lots are pretty much full almost everywhere. The skiing is great, and the music will be fun, too. We've got Workforce Blocks of Soundgarden. We have a birthday in REM. It's Michael Stipe's 59th. We'll celebrate with a Workforce Block. And something that should make you happy, Preston, because of the nice cold northern exposure-type temperatures, that could only mean a block.
Of Rush.
Lawrence Welk.
Lawrence Welk.
Doing his tribute to Rush.
Thank you.
Lawrence Welk doing... And here's the fly-by-night song.
Now here's our early distant warning.
And younger listeners going, who is Lawrence Welk? But be that as it may, no, we'll do a block of Rush. It'll be fun.
I love it, man. I'll be all over that. Thank you. All right, we're going to go to the phones and see if we can get ourselves a winner. We were looking for caller number 9, and that happens to be Steve. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good. So we got a prize. If you can tell me what this very short word of the week is this week. What is it?
I believe it is na, N-A.
Na, 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 na,
yeah,
na,
baby!
Na,
na, na.
Great day in the morning.
That is correct. Na.
Where would rock be without the nas?
You're
and
right.
The las, think, and the oh-oh-ohs, and the doo-doo-doos.
Think about the end of Love and Touch and Squeeze, and there's like 900 exactly. Nas at the end of that song. Steve got it right. You're right about that. So Steve got it right, and Steve, we're going to give you a 4-pack of pit tickets to see True TV's Impractical Jokers, presented by the Preston and Steve Show, Saturday, January 19th at the Met in Philly. It is show number 2 at 8 p.m. So congratulations, man.
Thank you very much.
All right, hang on just a second. Don't forget that it's an all-new tour, the Kranjes McBasketball World Comedy Tour, starring the Tenderloin. Show number 1 is sold out, and tickets for show number 2 are on sale now at info at themetphilly.com. So it should be a good one, so we're going to give that to you. Pierre, we will wrap it up here and hand things over to you. So we hope you have a wonderful weekend and a great show today. Give Jackson our love as well, okay?
We absolutely will. See you on Monday, kids.
All right. Sounds good. Pierre Robert, ladies and gentlemen. Live from Jack. Praise Jesus. Live from Jack Frost Mountain. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas, JFPB, where the snow comes first. Next week on the show, comedian Adam Ray will be in our studio. Also, another comedian, Amir Kay, is stopping by. I'm working on filling the rest of the week with some other guests and goodies. Don't forget, also, next week, we start off a new cash promotion that we're excited about. It's MMR's Go Fund Yourself.
Oh, boy.
Not only a chance to win $1,000, but potentially a chance for you to win the $10,000 grand prize.
That's 10 times $1,000.
Details available at WMMR.com. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great weekend, and we will see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
To the kid that stole the gas can out of the back of my truck, I hope you burn your house down.
Next message.
How about them birds, baby? Playoffs, here we come.
Next message.
This traffic sucks so bad. Why can't you people just stay on your vacations or at home with your family? Just get the out of my way. Move. Go Eagles.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.